Andy Ruse Gaming Game is currently sitting at number 105 for the teams out of the 1,000-some teams. Out of 2,000
teams. Look at all you fancy people.
Yeah. I need more donations. That one guy is still leading. By a slim margin, though.
How do I support your cause without donating any money or time?
Retweets.
That's people's time. Kidneys. Do you know how long it takes to cut out kidneys and push retweet buttons?
Actually, cutting out a kidney doesn't take too long. You just
billable hours.
Be a quick hand.
It's billable hours.
5 minutes. You spend more time getting rid of the body than cutting out the kidney.
Yeah. Lots of time getting rid of the body and time cutting up the kid. I mean, what do you think I am, made of money?
What the fuck's going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vangelis hosting this 272'd episode of WTF at TFW. Here on our 272nd, I'm joined by Aaron.
I don't think it's 70 seconds. I think it's just 70 second.
Oh, yeah?
English. Learn it.
I wonder where my donation just went. Oh.
To Stan?
Yeah. Basically.
Or Alfie?
So what I've been thinking of is like,
yeah,
so
yeah, give my girlfriend a donation. Kick a donation her way if you won't kick it my way.
I wanna get this.
Ain't
like,
nobody happy if Fate Mama ain't happy.
I wanna get this charity cat fight to keep going. So I'm thinking of like, what if when I start posting your episodes, right, it has your link, but when I post other episodes, I put the other guys' links in.
That's okay.
And then they're gonna overtake you.
If it gets donations, they get donations.
Look, have you heard of kayfabe? You got to put on the act here. Yeah. We got to believe that you are mad that they're getting more donations and you're going to fight for more yourself. So we get everyone hyped up thinking, look, if I put money in, I'm making someone sad. And that's how you trick people.
As I put it in the 270 thread, I'm not going to say that donating for other people is wrong because this is for a good cause. I'm saying that I'm better because I am, of course, the team captain. And I am the human of the mascot. So, there you go.
Wow. Bold words. Omegas Prime, do you have any thoughts or responses on how the pay-per-view is going to go?
Oh, God. I get asked that question way too many times to be asked it sarcastically.
All right, I'll ask it more sarcastically. Omegas Prime, how do you think the pay-per-view is going to go?
I'm just trying to come up with some kind of moniker for Aaron as a wrestler now. Since we're talking kayfabe.
The cancer kicker.
I was thinking the Axe Smith.
Oh God.
Really?
I don't like this anymore. I want to change the topic.
I've ruined it for everyone.
What's this podcast about? Transformers. Right. Robots in disguise, more than meets the eye. Some of them are masterpieces. The 22nd masterpiece is apparently going to be Ultra Magnus. This comes from Big Bad Toy Store doing that thing they do where they kind of just go like, hey, we heard from a guy, so we're putting up pre-orders. The nice thing about that is that most of the time, this stuff kind of pans out, and when it doesn't, they cancel the pre-order and you don't lose any money. But yeah. Apparently MP22 is going to be called Masterpiece City Commander with Trailer Perfect Edition. So, I for one am pretty stoked to see Takara taking a clear swing at the 3P. Not one to stand down in the face of City Commander. They are making their own version of that beloved Fans Project character. Aaron Axsmith, how do you feel about this new bullet fired
about
in the ongoing
City
fight?
City Commander?
Yeah, this clear battle between the third parties and the first parties.
I am glad to see an Ultra Magnus come from an official source that isn't just a white prime.
Except for how it's probably going to come with a white prime anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to come with the white prime for the core robot. But
yeah.
To have the armor to go on it to make it Ultra Magnus-y, that to me is pretty cool. I don't think before this announcement I would have thought that Takara would have done such a thing, because they've limped along well enough with, it's a white prime. Everybody knows that's what Ultra Magnus was. Right? Right?
Surely. We added blue.
Animus Minimus? What?
Huh? No? Hey, whoa! Hold on a second. How old is that comic book?
The first one of those is 3 months old now, I think.
Oh, so we've known for 3 months? Really? We've known for three months?
I think so. Man. I think it was the end of 20.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
It was like the oh my gosh at the end of it, and then a thing happened in 21, and then something else happened in 22?
No. 21 is the new one. 22 is the one that's coming out next week.
So then 19, 20, yeah. And 21.
No, you're right, though, because I'm remembering the order of cliffhangers. So it has been like 2 or 3 months. I can't believe that. Anyway.
Yeah.
By the way,
if only we had a podcast that we could talk about comics on.
I know. If only I was, of sound enough mind to organize even more than one primetime when we have a totally second primetime we could be talking about at any point.
Yeah. That's airing soon.
I know. Next week we should deal with that.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be away on Friday. We'll sort that out. But Omega's Prime, what are your thoughts on the idea of a perfect edition, as opposed to some other edition, Masterpiece, Ultra Magnus?
The not-so-good editions.
I just realized now that they're referencing MP2.
Yep. To be fair, they did the same thing with Convoy.
Yeah.
So it's just the thing to do with Convoy's moles. Eventually, we're going to do it again, and this time it's perfect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we at least got that, what was it, that mock-up that... Was it Hasui who posted that on Twitter some time ago?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is where I give this a little bit more credit than, say, a few other pre-orders that BBTS is going, because, I heard from a guy who knows someone somewhere.
Yeah.
I give him guff, but at the same time, if they can get people to put money down or dedication towards it, it at least gives them idea of how crazy they have to go with it and may lock people into theirs before it's even a thing.
Yeah.
Business.
Well, that's kind of on the business end. That's what's so amazing about how Big Bad is doing things like this, because they don't take money up front. So they take the risk, because people's, I think we've even said on here, like, a lot of people will use Big Bad because they don't care about pre-order cancellations. You can just throw money down, and that's like a safety pre-order.
And then you don't realize it, and then it hits your pile of loot, and then you have four of them.
Yep. I have had to keep an eye on some of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think I did that exact thing with Wheeljack and Bumblebee.
I forgot about that, because I was like, where did 22 come from? What happened to all the other numbers? But then I checked the records, and I saw there are actually a bunch of other things to fill in those numbers.
Yeah, Datsuns and Datsuns and Datsuns.
Yep. Because that covers, the Datsuns are up to 19, right? And then Bumblebee and Wheeljack are 20 and 21?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have all that stuff filled in. I think this could be super cool. I think that the three P's better watch out, because Takara's bringing it to town now. And that all the best Transformers come out of Japan, so...
Because they always have more die-cast in them than anything else.
More die-cast, better paint, and they're cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's not much else to really talk about, because, there's that mock-up. There's MP10 has a couple things on it I think people spotted way back. Like, there's weird little notches somewhere on him that look like they could go with an Ultra Magnus thing.
Yeah, there. I remember they bearing like a couple of notches and a couple of like nubs type of deal.
Like the safety engineering. Like it's not any extra cost to put these things in, so we'll just put them in. In case
that's
we
like
get to
star
do it.
The Masterpiece Starscream's shoulder cuts.
Yeah. Like,
for the cape drop-ins.
Yeah, like, we like to do this, and we'll just put these things here for now, and we'll deal with it later.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Very least, I'm going to be interested to see how this is engineered, because, we mentioned you know, we mentioned Fans Project's version, and that's a lot of parts in a big core that has nothing to do. Mm-hmm. And if this is accurate G1 Magnus, it needs this place for the cars to go, so it needs this big trailer. It has to be this open thing as well.
Yeah, I think with it being open, they can do a good job of sides do a accordion collapse type deal and all of a sudden have a whole lot of stuff turn into the bottom of a shoe.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at the engineering on current masterpieces, it seems like fitting a whole lot of something into a space that looks like it couldn't possibly contain it is one of the current design, not so much trends, but talents that they've got going on.
Yeah.
I say this messing with a new masterpiece toy right now that I just opened up and am amazed at how it works. More on that later. And really more on Masterpiece Magnus later, because I mean, the rest of all we have left is speculation, and that'll probably all get truthified sooner than later. I meant to ask, did because I haven't looked, has Big Bad got an actual estimated date for Magnus?
I didn't see a date. I saw a price of like $250 or something.
Right now
they've put it at August 2014, so I think it's just like, we're going to throw this as far as we can and just fix it later.
Yeah, that date and the price are good.
$280, sorry. I'll correct that. Well, going and looking at where they have, I mean, they're showing Bumblebee as second quarter 2014, so they just probably went, okay, what's in the third quarter? Because it's going to be after what we've already have, because they got to have a rough estimate at least on the announced stuff with Bumblebee and Wheeljack, so.
Yeah, and I was going to say that all the info for Magnus, both the price and the date, sound to me like some real spitballing of like, well, this is probably how much it costs, this is probably when it's coming out, because they can alter that easily enough down the road. Anyway, you know, I know that the Magnus fans out there are excited, and especially the ones who are getting all the third-party ones anyway, because we got that, what was it, Keys Fantasy Club doing an heavy metal Magnus. So yeah. There's going to be lots of Magnus for everyone pretty soon. But let's move on from there. Let's talk about some new picture picks. Omegas Prime, I want to know what your new picture pick might be.
Kabaya Made Me Happy Again.
I almost made this an item, and I was sure it would come up if we really wanted to talk about it.
Well, I kind of got disappointed with them because they did the whole wave of combiners. They're the combiner leaders, which looked fine, and then the little mini gum kits.
I still don't understand how to buy them, because it's, what is it, like every box has enough to build a body and then make it either one of these two? Is that the thing?
Something like that. There's only a few molds, and they all have enough parts to make either or, and they might come in this color or this color.
Yeah, because I watched Yohei DX's videos, and I was like, where are some of these colors coming from?
Yeah, because they have nothing to do with the combiners they relate to.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't mind taking liberties, but some of them are the right colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really didn't get into that. But apparently we've got another DX set coming out, which is not only Overlord, but also Road Caesar.
So
randomly enough.
Yeah, so Overlord is being sold like Fort Max, but the Road Caesar guys are being sold like Power Glide and Wind Charger.
Well, it's weird it's kind of weird to say that because it looks like Road Caesar is actually going to be bigger than Overlord.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, Road Caesar, 145 millimeter.
I didn't see the measurements.
Overlord is 120.
That's super weird.
Yeah. So it's more like this is a Road Caesar set with Overlord as a chase figure.
I don't mind that. Actually, you know what? That's kind of cool because that means that Overlord will not be as tall as Fort Max in the Kabayaverse. Right?
Yeah.
So,
because scale is always an important thing.
In the Kabayaverse, it is.
No, but I am happy to see what all they are actually pulling out for this, because Overlord has his jet mode, he has his tank mode, he has the base mode,
yeah.
And he still has Mega and Giga. And everyone gets their Brain Masters, and I'm really eager to see how that comes out in miniature.
Like, Star Saber didn't even get that, right?
No. Well, Star Saber came before the DX, so he's still, like, normal-sized Kabaya.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, right. That will be weird if they actually do the full or a downsized version of that gimmick, but Star Saber doesn't get it. I think this is great, and I really want to see what Kabaya do with both of these figures, because it looks like the image is really small, the one I see, but it looks like they've... Or is there a bigger one?
Allow me.
Oh, goody. This is linked on some other website. That's why I couldn't see this. Yeah, I never saw it. Yeah, because I could even make out on the smaller image that it looked like they were doing that Kabaya thing where they were reworking all the proportions to look a bit nicer in robot mode.
Yeah.
Because one of Road Caesar's big things is the proportions aren't exactly great on him.
Yeah, on the toy, the proportions are pretty god-awful. Like, his legs are as big as his body.
Yeah.
And it looks like
his legs are as big as his bodies and his arms, if memory horribly serves.
Yeah, well, his arms are shorter than his thighs, I believe.
Yeah, this is a toy whose lower torso is made of twice as much toy as his upper torso.
Yeah. It looks like they've really tightened up the proportions. And on Overlord, like, that toy already has some really nice proportions, and it looks like they've just got it as clean as possible. This is what I liked about their take on God Jinrai. And on Fortress Maximus, mm-hmm. actually, was the cleaning of the... Like, it's not a superposable toy. They all probably parts form immensely in some way. But the proportions are really nicely done for the scale and the price, and that's what I like about Kabaya's stuff still.
Well, technically, I think Overlord has to part form. Just,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, kind of. That's,
but like, the classic Kabaya trick of, like, instead of a leg slider, they just have you unpeg the leg and peg it on a lower mounting point kind of thing.
Here's the thing. They do that on the normal ones, but the DX Fort Max, he's completely cheat-free.
Yeah, he was clean.
Yeah, but Fort Max also is a transformation that would require less cheat. Like Fort Max doesn't have sliders on him, does he? Like, he generally just folds up using
the real Fort Max is, again, to talk later, is all just swivels.
Yeah, so, I don't know, and I'm not trying to downplay anything, I just feel like Fortress Maximus wouldn't necessarily, even if he weren't a quote-unquote DX, I don't think he would have had really cheating to any degree. I'm expecting stuff like that on, especially the individual Brain Masters and the way their legs transform.
I can already tell you, I see holes in the legs in some angles.
Yeah, and what I'm trying to say is I don't have a problem with that necessarily, because to balance that out, it feels like Kabaya, aside from giving you a great value proposition of, like, what, 300 yen a box, right? They do all this work to not just ape the old toys, and I super appreciate that. Like, even on the Brain Masters, like, they've got this, they're showing all these different things for Blacker that you can do with the accessories, which on on another candy toy perhaps would not have happened, but you can totally load him out. And on the Scramble City torsos, they had like ways to mount all of the, like, the combiner head and everything, storing them all inside the commander figure. Right, that's what I got from the Yohei DX videos.
Jeez, I didn't even look into those to check.
Yeah, they like on Onslaught, Bruticus's head is worked into the vehicle mode, and it's like stored, and the ramp is even like it's really smart engineering on the torsos. Anyway, I don't want to go on too far a tangent on toys I don't actually own, but this is pretty exciting. I don't see a date on this one yet, but it looks like this is totally, like, these are prototypes and packaging mock-ups, so it's probably still well in development, but I'm fingers crossed that this comes out soon, because I like it. Aaron, do you like DX Overlords?
I do. I've enjoyed all the Kabaya toys I've gotten the chance to build myself, so hopefully this will be another easy enough to pick up at a convention or on the cheap, added into a pile of loot or something.
I actually saw at Action Figure Expo last weekend a whole bunch of the Scramble City Commanders, $20 for all three. And I feel bad saying it, but I looked at them and I was like, I feel like I could still get a better deal somewhere, given the number of them that were at the table.
Maybe.
I decided it was a calculatable risk. Also, I didn't have a 20 on me, and I didn't feel like going to the ATM. So.
Well, not having the money on hand, it, to me, is a slightly better excuse than I thought I could get a better deal.
Well, that was the follow-up, right? It's like, first I'm like, I don't have a 20. And they're like, I guess I could go to the ATM. And then I kind of stand there for a second. I'm like, but it's a whole five-minute walk away.
That was your fallback self-justification.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, 20, but I bet I could get them for 18 somewhere. And then I kind of, and I didn't, I wish I'd said all this out loud, you know, just to make a total scene and sound like I'm insane, but I didn't. It was all in my head.
Everyone's looking at you like, who is he talking to?
I think I can get a better deal somewhere else. I'm going to walk away.
He gets a full-time editing job, and now he thinks he's somebody special.
You know, I bet I could, yeah, I'm a fancy pants Hollywood person now. I'm going to get a better deal somewhere else. And I just walk away flopping my arms like a rag doll. Anyway, where I was going with this was, Aaron, what's your new picture pick?
Another Constructobot short.
I haven't seen this one yet.
Have you seen the switcheroo?
Yeah, it's 37 seconds, so I'm just going to watch it while you talk.
Yeah. Yet again, showing the same creative guys that... Wow, the volume on that's real loud. The same creative guys that were doing the Creo stuff. Just humor to it, and then there's like a naked Megatron moment, and spoilers, sorry.
Wasn't there a naked Megatron moment in the last one, too?
There was in the last one, too, yeah. Apparently Megatron's a nudist.
So...
Constructobots.
This is totally the Creo guys, because Bumblebee is a jerk, and Megatron...
Oh, a horrible jerk.
And Megatron is just... The world is taking a loud, filthy dump on his head. And
yeah, he's just trying to do his thing.
Yeah, I love this, the fiction. All the construction toy Megatrons are these downtrodden, like, barely villains.
Yeah. Like the Hanna-Barbera villains.
And all the Bumblebees
just a little bit of mustache twirl, and that's it.
All the Bumblebees are jerks. They're all jerks.
Look, he only does the mustache twirling because he got that magazine in that talked about the benefits of twirling your mustache, and so that's why he does it. He's not really a horrible villain. You know, there's no damsels tied on railroad tracks, but Bumblebee,
Bumblebee's like, you know that paper they print that magazine on isn't hemp-based nor organic, don't you know? And then he just goes and, like, cuts Megatron's dog's throat or something. Like,
yeah.
That's the logic I see in these construction toy Bumblebees. I love this stuff. I'm so glad that they're still doing these kind of short commercial bits and putting this heart into them. I also love the part with the head swapped on the shoulders. That was great.
Yeah, that's... It's one of the things where I kind of wish I still had, like, regular cable TV so I could see these live and be excited by, like, oh my gosh, commercial, fun commercial, rather than, you know, seeing them.
Like, be surprised by internet. Them.
Yeah. Just be sitting there watching TV and having that drop. But cable TV is expensive for as little as I would watch of it, so screw you, cable consumption.
Cable TV is, in my opinion, a super hard sell for anyone who doesn't have a large family that needs to be distracted by it for multiple hours a day.
Yep.
Because why don't I just get the digital version? I don't know. Omegas Prime, what are your thoughts on this Constructobot commercial?
You know, it amuses me because as much as we can, let me be frank about this. As much as you kind of poke fun at what Bumblebee might have sounded like in Prime, I kind of feel like the commercials make that a little bit more real.
Yes, this horrible sadist who happily hides behind the veneer of looking child friendly and being regarded a hero.
No, man, we're the Autobots. We're the good guys.
Yeah, we're the good guys.
I know Megatron was just trying to make himself a grilled cheese sandwich, but come on, he's Megatron.
It's fine. I just stuck a knife in him. It's fine. He's Megatron. He can deal with it. I just shoved an ice pick in his ear so he's permanently deaf and brain damaged, but it's funny, right? I'm Bumblebee! Ha ha ha! Megatron's just curled up, quivering in the fetal position, bleeding out one side of his head. He's going like, God, please kill me. Kill me.
See, this is what Hollywood does to you, man.
I know.
He's this big star, and when the camera's on...
You get the toy deals?
Yeah.
I mean...
It's like, when the camera's on, he's like, oh my god, it looks so cool, and oh, he looks like a nice guy, the camera turns off, just complete and utter prick.
I don't even want to know what he did to the guy who messed with his lighting setup. That Bumblebee ain't done with people professionally, that Bumblebee eats people professionally, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. No, but actually, I don't.
Not me, I mean, either. I just wanted to say that. There's the Constructobots. There's only been like the first wave out so far, right? Because they're starting to
correct.
They're starting to stink up the shelves a little bit, and I still haven't bought Wheeljack or Soundwave because I see a million of them, and I feel like
yep,
I can just wait until that million needs to get taken off the shelf and thus is on sale.
Yep,
and I feel kind of bad about that.
That's where I'm sitting.
Yeah, I mean, I bought. Through you, I bought Blitzwing. I, of my own volition, bought the 2-pack of Megatron and Optimus, and I felt like, well, I've kind of done my part, right? Yeah. Bought them full retail. Yeah.
That, and I think that they've come... The big thing will become Christmas to see what they actually do.
Yeah.
Holiday time when parents are buying toys, not back-to-school time when parents are... What, you need clothes again this year? Didn't we just buy you clothes last year?
Stop growing, you insolent little ingrate. We bought you all these clothes. Now you're another inch taller.
We used to have fun before you were born.
Isn't it the fashion you kids have? You know, wearing pants that end before your ankles. Isn't that fashionable? Well, maybe you should start the fashion, honey. Maybe you should be more popular. And that's why I'll never be a father. Also... I mean, I don't mean to keep tangenting here, because we never do that, but a lot of my Constructobot buzz, aside from the fact that I really just want some of the toys in that line that aren't out yet, because they're more interesting looking, those Tenkai Knight things have kind of caught my constructible robot toy eyeballs, and man, so their Twitter account's super active, and I said, hey, when are they out in Canada? And they're like, oh, October 26th. And they're going to be, So they just officially came out today in the States, and for the first month, they're exclusive to Toys R Us. In Canada, okay. They come out on the 26th, and they're exclusive to Mastermind Toys, which is a toy like...
Well, that was like that Smart Toys type place?
I think. I've never actually heard of them before, so I had to Google them up, and I don't think...
We saw like two of them up when we were up there for TFCon.
Okay, because I was looking, and I was trying to figure out if the one in Toronto is one I can even feasibly get to. Because, like, seeing everyone on my Twitter all finding them at the same time, I'm just sitting there my teeth are gritted. I'm just like, I just want one of these little Lego brick men. Damn it.
Yeah. Tomorrow is truck day at my Toys R Us.
They will probably be out at your Toys R Us.
Before I go off to the Dress Up Funny Toy... or Dress Up Funny World for the weekend because I'm doing a historic reenactment thing. I'm going to be checking them out.
I really want to hear your thoughts on them as a Lego dude.
Yeah. They look very compelling to me.
And according to Trent, they feel like better plastic than Creo.
Yeah. That's not hard.
Yeah, I know.
Occasionally Creo's plastic feels slightly soapy.
Anyway. Speaking of builds, my new picture pick is this thing that came out of friggin' nowhere. Takara Tomy's FJ Optimus Prime, which some people have in hand now all of a sudden. So this is a customizable Optimus Prime who turns into an FJ Cruiser. And the box comes with him kind of skinless. And then you get all the parts to make him into either a yellow or a white FJ Cruiser. I don't know if this is like if these are parts that are easily swappable. I really hope they are. And I don't even know how. Like, it looks like he actually transforms because my original thought when we saw the first pictures of this was he probably doesn't transform, but it looks like he does.
If you look at the picture, there's a hood slot Or like a head slot through the hood and yeah. separate bumpers, yeah.
And he looks like a really cool little toy. Like, his sculpt is pretty beefy and has personality. The axe weapon he's carrying looks badass. The head sculpt is like a kind of a slightly cartoony, in a good way, Optimus Prime.
Yeah, I like how his antennas are vents.
Yeah.
Right.
And when
it's, it's still Prime, but it changes it just a touch so that it's unique.
And when he's off-road now, so he needs more vents.
Yeah.
More intakes.
Well, that's your periscope, or not your periscope, but your, snorkel.
When he's skinned.
So if you get a little bit of water, it doesn't kill it.
He looks really good without the car panel parts on him, too. Like, he looks like a really good, like, pre-scanned, like, pre-Altmode yeah. scanned Optimus. His palette looks a whole lot like Energon Optimus to me. And also, it looks like the axe, transforms a lot. There's, like, yeah. hinges all over it. It looks like it turns into a spare tire. So I'm super interested in this thing now. It looks like it's got a lot more effort put into it than I was expecting to see out of a sudden brand-licensed Transformers item in Japan.
What I'd like to see is somebody with two of them having the two of them, side-by-side. You know, see if it's possible. It looks like it's possible, like, it's just the shell, so... You know, have it transformed without the shell parts and one immediately adjacent to it in the same, direction to
cool.
see what do they look like.
I could...
Skinned and unskinned or something similar.
I mean, I could do that with a split-screen effect in just a whole lot of time.
Right.
But,
That's just easier to buy a second one.
I know. I also just saw someone make the really good point that and this is a good reason to buy multiples. Because all those car parts are on their own sprue, you could technically just spray them any color you want to have all kinds of different colored FJ Cruiser Optimus Primes.
Oh, especially if you did like a candy coat paint or something?
Yeah.
Like, two-layer
imagine if they did one on clear plastic so you could spray the inside.
Oh. I'm just thinking just the classic, candy apple red.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Anyway,
I think it's actually kind of strange to come up with such an alien idea for a Transformer line with Optimus Prime and not have red.
Yeah, and that almost draws me.
That's probably a licensee issue.
Yeah. That's how we got our yellow tracks, I remember.
They're saying, hey, you know, for Toyota, that yellow is our... That's the color in everything of the FJ Cruiser. So there's going to be a yellow one, and then you can choose from white, blue, or green or something weird.
I bet you a nickel that regardless of how well this does to maximize the profits from the mold, somewhere down the line we see one released with a candy apple red sprue and a black sprue.
Maybe. Let's go to Toyota's website. Yeah, so there... FJ Cruiser 2014, okay. In U.S., yellow isn't one of the standard colors. Cement, magma, quicksand, army green, iceberg, and black.
Iceberg sounds cool.
It's... Just, it's like a white... White... I don't know why they can't say white is always
It's iceberg.
Yeah.
Oh, it's iceberg. God. I just saw an image called FJ Cruiser Cross Autobot Impact 2. Everything we were just talking about has taken a dark turn. Look at that image. There's a lineup of like 8 of them in all kinds of different colors.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, that's about the range of colors I just listed off,
well,
short of the yellowy one.
I guess they already figured it out before we could.
Yeah. Dang it, how did they do that?
Oh, and according to Megatroptimus, you need to buy a car to get the red one.
Wow.
That's great. Okay.
I kind of want the black one in the back. It's very primal.
You got to buy two cars to get the black one in the back.
Oh, God.
Or hook yourself up with a customizer with a decent paint hand.
Or just buy an airbrush. You know?
Yeah.
In fact, just buy a can of spray paint because it's one little sprue. You just spray it twice and you're set, probably.
Well, there's detailing, I'm pretty sure, on...
Not on the sprues.
On those pieces.
I think a lot of the light detailing is built into the toy. Like the base figure.
That might be passed through.
Yeah. I think those sprues are just a single color.
Yeah, I guess there was one of the pictures that made it look like that there was something on the sprue. Oh, no, it was the picture of the back. The dark spots were the pass-through areas, apparently. Yeah, never mind. Aaron, shut up. Okay.
I didn't say anything. So I don't actually know what the price is on this, because I never looked into it until a few minutes ago. But I think Robot Kingdom had a pre-order up for it. Whatever the case, this looks like a perfect example of something I'd like to just stumble across at a convention.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those where it's a table of guys' weird stuff and then this.
Yeah. And this looks like a wave... Oh, here we go. Oops. Wow. On Robot Kingdom, they're both in stock and $40 a piece. So apparently they were 4,000 yen, according to Robot Kingdom.
Hmm.
That's not a bad price if the size is good.
That's not a bad price at all. Yeah.
Like, maybe it's tiny.
Turns out it's smaller than a deluxe.
Well, at the same time, if it looks this good and is that tiny, that's almost a draw. So, Yeah, I need to know more, but I hope I stumble across one of these sometime, because I don't really want to... The problem with Robot Kingdom is if I order it from there, then the shipping will make that a whole lot less of a friendly price.
Well, you could have it shipped here and then come here for the Gameathon.
But the shipping to you will cost as much as to me. It's coming from Asia.
Well, you won't have to deal with Canadian Post.
I guess... You're getting better at this. So. Anyway, FJ Optimus Prime, I'm sure some of our listeners, at least one of them, must have... Well, someone out there must have actually ordered this toy before these pictures came up. So if you did, please share your thoughts in the thread. I want to know more. And those are our new picture picks, because I want to talk a little bit about comic books that are not Transformers, but... What?
I don't know. I was trying to make it exciting.
Oh. It just sounded like you were sad.
There's that, too.
In general. So Nick Roche on Facebook one night while I was up too late posted, "Hey, guess what? I got my first job at Marvel Comics. I'm doing the Death's Head one-shot in 2014 in February. And I was like, what? So Nick Roche is doing the art on the February 2014 released one-shot of Death's Head, based on Death's Head 2, which has made some people sad, but as far as I could tell, this thing is a completely new, like, reboot, in some way or another, so have an open mind. Anyway, Nick Roche is kind of pumped because he's also never worked for Marvel Comics before, and Marvel Comics is kind of a big place to work for, in terms of resumes and credentials and whatnot. So I wanted to get the word out that this is going on and, throw out a high five to Nick Roche because, that's pretty cool news. I don't know very much about Death's Head 2, except that a lot of people don't like it. And I have a what if comic all about what if Death's Head didn't become Death's Head 2. And then Death's Head 2 is like the bad guy in the comic. And he all I remember is he makes the thing explode and he punches a knife through Reed Richards' head. Because what ifs are kind of awesome. So, Aaron, what are your thoughts on this? Do you have any interest in Nick Roche doing Death's Head?
Well, Death's Head 1 was just in, like, the Iron Man title.
Yeah.
The secret origin of Tony Stark. So, they're making sure they're still using it and screwing Furman over, or whatever.
Whatever that whole story is.
Yeah,
sadness and darkness.
Whole lot of, you're a poopy face, I think, if memory serves, but...
Yep.
Yeah.
Gee, Axis already!
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad that Nick's getting called up to the big leagues. Although IDW's pretty much big leagues now too. So
yeah, they've
done a good job in the last 4 or 5 years of getting a lot of good titles and licenses and being smart with them.
IDW, I think, have played their cards super well and have really, considering like how they were kind of like, oh, they're that company that get the pop culture licenses, you know, some years ago.
Yeah.
Like, man, yeah, I feel so proud sometimes of those guys, even though there's nothing for me to be proud of. But like, just look
how hard you've worked.
How hard
handing
I've worked
them money.
For, you know, I kickstarted all this being Pat Lee and all, and I'm real proud to see what they've done with my work. Good job, guys. But no, I mean, there was a time where it was kind of like, yeah, I'm buying the Transformers comics, and you know, some other comic readers were like, oh. And now there are other comic readers going like, man, I wish our comics were as good as those. So, this is just cool news. Omega's Prime, how do you feel about this? Nick Roche hitting up the House of M.
Oh, good for him. Always good to see a Transformer veteran move up to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, as we say, that's a debatable subject, but Death's Head's always a weird one to hear come up again. I'm not familiar with the Marvel UK run where he first appeared, but he comes up in some weird random places sometimes. I remember a bunch of them were in the animated Planet Hulk movie. I was like, wait,
oh
that's
yeah,
that's Death. Wait, what? That's Death's Head with Hulk.
I vaguely recall that, very vaguely. I haven't seen that in a while.
It was strange. It's just one of those little concepts from Furman that comes up. It's just like every now and then where it sounds like a good idea and then nothing happens.
Oh, so, crap. Hold on. I'm reading Death's Head Wikipedia article.
Oh.
We're in trouble here.
What? Here we go.
Death's Head encountered the Time Lord known as the Doctor.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
What?
You guys didn't know that?
So, Transformers is in continuity with Doctor Who.
Someone, did you guys never see the TF mosaic someone did of that?
No.
I think it's a mosaic. Someone did, it was really cool. It's the Doctor arrives in his phone booth thing, and he pops out, and then he's like, oh, we gotta leave right now. And his lady friend is all like, why do we gotta leave? And the Doctor's like, oh, I've been here before, this is a lousy place. This is a timeline and planet just full of these demented creatures that have been fighting a civil war for, like, millennia. All they know how to do is wreck everything they touch. We need to leave. And then you see he's on Cybertron, and I'm like, aw.
Yeah, Death's Head was later hired to capture the Doctor in his TARDIS, which led him to be stuck in present day where he confronted the Fantastic. Man, Death's Head has been used and abused by whoever had the license at the time.
Death's Head gets around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we will never have an action figure of him.
Yeah. Too many people saying, mine, no.
Jeez.
Give it to Harmony Gold and let them deal with it?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, Harmony Gold just comes out of nowhere like, yo, while y'all were arguing, we bought Death's Head. Guess who's never appearing in anything ever again? And they just drop their pants and go, what? And just walk off. Because that's Harmony Gold.
Pants still around the ankles.
Yep. They don't care. Harmony Gold don't care. What's anime? We invented it. We're Harmony Gold.
What, are you going to sue us? No, we'll sue you. We'll sue you because you said something about suing.
Yeah. Hey, yo, you made a white jet with red things? We invented white jets. And I think we just invented red things. Sued. Friggin' Harmony Gold.
And I could totally believe it. Those SOBs.
I don't care for them. So I just wanted to get this out there, as I said, to get some grats out to Nick Roche and to get the word out in case you hadn't heard that, you know, and it's a one-shot comic. It's not even an obligation. It's to give it a look when it comes out. I'm going to be doing that action I just described. So, how am I going to word this? We've got some listener questions. Our first listener question is a normal one. This comes from Enigma 2K2. His question reads, quote, Do you think that Hasbro uses the rising cost of oil explanation on any of the other dozens of toy franchises that they still churn out en masse, like the always disappointing Spider-Man line? And how long do you think it will take before the gap between rising prices and cost-cutting finally drives customers away? That's the main crux of the question here. So, Aaron, you enjoy the toy industry and talking about it.
Yeah.
So,
as well as I understand it, yes.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the question? Do you, like, I don't actually know if the, I think the rising cost of oil thing has come up on other lines, but I can't think of a specific example. I know I've heard it before.
Yeah, I've heard it as a, like, an overall thing.
Because it came up, Mattel have brought it up.
Because, yeah, well, that was the whole reason for, like, the all black and then painted Masters of the Universe guys, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was their reasoning.
There's like, no, all that we can afford for this line because we didn't get enough pre-sales on the collector's thing was recycled, and the recycle only comes as black, so you're all poopy heads and it's all your fault.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So that's paraphrasing,
I say this, like,
what I've been told.
I think there's truth to that. It's just Mattel has this thing where they have a great way of delivering information in a way that kind of tries to guilt trip people.
Yeah. Look, it's your fault that you don't get dinner.
Look at this huge pantheon of characters we chose to never make in the Masters line. If you don't support it, they'll never happen. Oh, by the way, mm-hmm. Too Bad is going to be subscriber only.
Until we release it at Big Lots.
They actually came out and had a statement about that. They did some damage control about that. They said that will never happen again. That was for from when they were doing reissues of figures, and they ended up with all that overstock.
And some accidentally got out.
No, they said that because no one bought the reissues, they had to do something with the overstock, and that's why there will never be reissues of figures again.
So next time, instead of actually selling the ones that they have to have in order to make their production numbers, they'll just chip them.
I don't know, man. There's a thing about the way that Matty Collector disseminates his information that makes me always go, like, I don't. You're saying good things, but then there's this tone that feels super weird.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Anyway, for the question at hand, if indeed that has been used, I could see them, especially when they said it to us, what was that, 3 years ago, 4 years ago at BotCon?
Something like that, yeah.
As they were resizing and rejiggering things, I believe it, oil in that time frame had taken a large jump. I think right now it's level. I don't know. I'm not a commodities trader. So, yeah, I don't think there's going to be a price, a point when the rising prices and cost cutting finally drives customers away. I think that's kind of setting up a false analogy to begin with. I think the toys that are coming out now are still compelling. And I mean, the IDW deluxes that have come out, while smaller than previous deluxes, are still good toys. And for the price, especially with a pack and comic, they're pretty good.
I mean, yeah, so, I look at Orion Pax and I see something that is more densely engineered than some of the Fall of Cybertron deluxes, which, yeah. And that between that and the redeco remold waves of Fall of Cybertron having those enormous weapons added on, makes me think that it doesn't feel like it's like a widening chasm of hopelessness, you know, opening up. Like, it feels like it was based on a factor of the times that is ever changing.
Right. I think a comparison would be if you were to take Orion Pax and hold it up next to, like, the Bendy Prime.
Yeah.
That's where you could go, oh my gosh, look at the difference that only a few years coming up on a decade have made.
And there are differences. Like, I'm not trying to say, like, it's not like, when I say it moves, it's not like it's gone from baseline to -1 back to baseline. Like, there's decimals in there, there's curves. It certainly hasn't reached the 2009 tier of quality we had, and I don't think it will for a long time, if ever.
Yeah. I think that kickover when they started kind of making excuses for things was a point where, you know, I think that they got a edict sent down from lawyer or budgetary above and said, hey, look, no, the way that we're looking at things, we gotta do this. So, what can you do right now? And it was like, man, we could, I guess, do X, Y. And then they're like, okay, we'll do that. And then they kind of worked their way back the other way on it.
Yeah.
I'd say this is obviously one from a long time ago, but we cleared out our cache.
Now, this question was from September 16th.
So, within the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Unless it's like 2011 and it's really fallen through the cracks.
Well, it's all about it really is about the perspective you look at it from, because there is a completely valid perspective of the toys are smaller and cost the same than they did before. And that's why I say it's more of a gray zone than a simple like plus one, minus one, because there's the case of, yes, the toys are smaller. There's also the case of the engineering is now filling out the space far better than it did on a lot of the Fall of Cybertron toys. And I say that as someone who quite enjoyed most of them, but like I said many times, a whole lot of those, Bruticus's Wave especially, are filled with fairly indefensible faults that just don't bother me as much as other people, because I enjoy the play pattern within. But right now, I mean, I look at Trail Cutter and Orion Pax specifically. Of course, they're the two better figures of the Wave, in my opinion. And I just don't see a permanent down curve of quality off of that, as compared to the sentiment I get sometimes reading an internet message board.
Yes.
Well, it's always something that kind of ebbs and flows with Transformers. I mean, when you look at RID going to Armada, you kind of wonder where the articulation went, where the complexity went, and it's a shift over from, well, this is what Takara was doing purely on their own, just throwing, you know, just throwing caution to the wind with their toy line. And now this is where we have to come back to Earth and figure out what we're actually going to do to keep the brand going.
And with a new lead designer as well. Because there was a huge shuffle in that time period. Because that was the Aaron Archer era beginning. And that was Aaron Archer coming on from the Batman toy line. So there was a big curve there. But yeah, ebbing and flowing is a good way to put it, I
think. Yeah. It's just one of those things where there's always going to be a feeling out period when something new happens. You know, when we got the price hike originally during Revenge of the Fallen, I think it was.
Yeah.
It's somewhere in that era. You know, there was already a noticeable change in the engineering. You started seeing a few more hollow parts. You started seeing a little bit more shell forming to keep the complexity down. So it's... And we get through that, and then we hit the smaller toys, or... back to like Revenge of the Fallen, where it's, you know, more of it's in the weapon than the figure,
and also there's
Dark of the Moon, rather.
There's different, and there's also different design intents. Like Revenge of the Fallen, the toys were like, how many separate parts can we put in this figure, pretty much,
right?
And then in Dark of the Moon, it was almost the opposite. It was how few parts can we fit in while still implying the same amount of character in this figure. And I've said many times, Dark of the Moon's toy line, especially the deluxes, if you can see past the movie aesthetic, there's a surprising zen of design in some of those. That was completely looked over by not only myself, but a ton of other people. And
I will defend that line, because every time I picked one up is just because, well, I kind of feel like getting a Transformer. You know, the look doesn't do it for me, but we can try it out. But I was always pleasantly surprised. Like, there wasn't really anything that I got that was, like, hugely disappointing. It was, you know, always a little bit better than I thought. But I think it's just one of those little debates that people have, because they remember these little points in history where it just seems like it's a radical change. In reality, not really. Because there's always those changes going on. Every line is adapted a little bit differently. It's just a few stand out a little bit more than the others. Yeah, the downsizing is one thing, but, you know, I will agree with the panel here. Like, they had a rough transition period. Some of the early Prime toys suffered that too, but they got through that. We've got some, you know, from Beast Hunters and Generations, we got some extremely solid toys.
And with the downsizing, and in Prime, I think is where this really rose back from its time in animated, was basically the implied mass shift of a lot of Transformers now are incredibly smart with their use of space. And if not smart, they're very thrifty with how they're using the space. Like every inch in one mode is just densely packed with parts. Sometimes to a detriment, like in Stealth Bomber Megatron's case, it leaves his robot mode having to imply size and hope you don't look at it from behind more so than be actually like bulky. But the way he folds up is an incredibly good use of space. All of them really, like Orion packs as well. And so, you know, I always see give and take with Transformers in some way. And like yeah. The Dark of the Moon is a great example because you basically gave the entire aesthetic for some people, but you got some, if you could see them more as just the skeleton of the design than, you know, the character of the toy, there was some real Zen engineering in there. I just wish that had been able to continue on a bit longer under another aesthetic. Some of that came back in Prid, but it seems like that notion of make the toy simpler is more so going in the direction of what we are seeing prototyped in the upscaled Cyberverse toys.
Yeah. I think where you can really see the engineering evolve is if you pay attention to the early Prime mainline toys. They went from the robot's arm is hidden under the panel to the robot's arm is the panel.
Mm.
And it became how do we work that in? Now, you see, like, Cliffjumper, it didn't pull off that well. You know, it's kind of an ugly little thing of an arm.
Yeah.
But you move on, there's the Viacon, where it's just the panel. So it works, but it's really thin. But they get through that really quick, because you get to, like, Cup, who... Yeah, he's using shell from the vehicle mode to like fold up and create his arms, but they come out really solid. And you see that in Trail Cutter too. And it's this little mark where you can see, well, we're trying to get this engineering to tighten up and simplify it, but now we know how to work it a little bit better so the overall result is a lot more solid, a lot more like the early, like, you know, where I want to say like the mid-2000 range of toys where you had a nice balance of solid and form and design.
Oh yeah. Cybertron was a different coin, but a similar one of a good use of space. Only in the case of Cybertron, it was everyone's made of blocks. Basically, like everyone is made of cubes or large chunky pieces that all fold together pretty nicely. And now we have a slightly more slim and streamlined visual approach to that, where everyone's made of, like panels and sleek cylindrical bits and whatnot that all fold together really nicely, which just comes with the advancement of technology, because now you can actually manufacture parts that are a bit more subtle than a lot of the components in Cybertron, and have them actually come out on mass production with a decent quality. I think in general, if you wanted. Feel maybe better about just, you know, the Transformers you're collecting, to really boil it down to like one very specific niche, it would be try to look at your toys as a list of pros and cons rather than as a soundbite, really. And I mean, that is the habit of the internet right now, is to boil everything down to it's the worst thing ever made or it is the second coming of the Messiah. A lot of people want to,
because there are only two opinions out there.
Yeah, it was the best or it sucked and I hate it. And that's just not how things work. And I think that it comes from... I don't think it's conscience either, but I think just a lot of people want to be able to boil themselves down into a soundbite. And I find Transformers, the reason why it keeps my interest so much, one of the reasons why is of late, especially because I keep doing these video things and it's a way I think about them, is turning them into a list of pros and cons makes them supremely interesting to me, because... It's the challenge of A, finding the good thing in the pretty crappy one, or B, finding the bad thing in the generally lauded one. And this is maybe not so much Transformers, but I mean, like when I got Bovis, I was digging deep, because I'm like, I gotta find what's wrong with this, because this feels to me like a pretty much perfect Bovis toy, and nothing's perfect, so I've got to figure out what doesn't work on here, and I kind of enjoy that. It lets me start building that list. Hypernova, it's a $180 toy. I want to make a list for that. I don't want to boil that down to a soundbite. And then being able to make a list out of like a $10 toy, you're getting so much value out of that $10 now, rather than I spent $10 and it sucked or it was the best, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know that if anyone, you know, out there feels like maybe frustrated with their with the way things go, give it a try. It's not going to work for everyone. I'm just sharing what works for me. But escaping the temptation of crunching it all down to a tweet level soundbite. Although there is a guy who on AllSpark I saw who actually he does 140 character reviews that are really interesting. But I don't know. Don't try. See if you can make a list out of your toys. It's kind of fun.
What you're saying is there can be more than just the like I said, more than just the binary one or zero.
Oh, yeah.
You can have shades of, you know what, this toy's okay.
You know, in life in general.
This toy's okay doesn't get the noise that best thing ever or worst thing ever.
Life in general, in one's beliefs and the way one leads one's life. Very few things are binary outside of like the simple state of like life or death, you know, like, and I mean, yeah, in general, like the less that people think like computers, the more fulfilling one's life can be, you know?
Yeah.
Cause the thing about computers is they're real smart, but they're also real stupid. Cause they have to be told things. They can't do stuff on their own. So
not yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of the day, whenever that happens, that's going to be someone who... We're going to find out someone who put their brain in a computer, so they cheated. I'm just going to say it now. Skynet probably cheated. Anyway, there's one other question in here, which is directed at me, which is that I am, quote, such a friggin' apologist. How come I never try to stand up for my fine Canadian Postal Service? It can't be that bad, can it? Yes, it can! Oh, goddamn, yes, it can! The postal service and courier services in Canada are one of the worst parts of our country, because they all hover between this terrible fine line of being both a privatized service and a government service in all the worst ways. And it is the worst manifested in our courier systems, where you can call FedEx and say, all right, I want to schedule it for a pickup. And this is all ignoring the fact you're going to eat a fee for doing so. They'll say, all right, well, where's your nearest FedEx outlet? The person on the phone will ask you. And so when you say, what on earth are you talking about? They will say, well, we don't have necessarily official licensed places connected to our system. There are mom and pop stores that are licensed places to hold your mail for you. That is what's... Anyway, no, there's nothing to apologize for in the Canadian Postal Service. The only thing it has going for it is anything sent domestically has a tracking number. The bad side of that is anything sent domestically might cost more to send than something to another country. So, no, there's nothing to apologize for. The Canadian Postal Service needs a stick inserted in it somewhere. And, I invite other Canadians to defend it, because I will plug my ears and say la la la, because I don't care. I don't like the Canadian Postal Service very much.
Okay, now we have your list, so now find the good.
I said the good is there's tracking numbers when we send stuff domestically. That's pretty good, right?
Theoretically.
You guys get that?
Yeah.
I really hate you guys. I really hate you guys.
Have your packages sent here, and then you come run a TriCaster or something.
Do you guys have built-in
my stream better?
Do you guys have built-in insurance?
To a point,
because all as far as I can recall, most anything I've ever sent for no extra fee has had up to $200 insurance.
There is a break-even point on certain shipping things. I think flat rate you get a certain amount of insurance on, and first class you do. I know I've asked before to get insurance when shipping something. They said how much and $50, and they went.
Pfft. Yeah.
So
also Enigma2K2 said now some audio porn for you. It's a YouTube link to something that says movie phone hangups, and there's a bunch of captions about hanging up.
Skimsy. Yes, sir.
Oh,
I understand. Don't go outside or even to the restroom. I'll have a car there in a hot minute.
Okay.
This is amazing.
Okay.
No booze today, Howard.
It's people hanging up phones.
No booze.
Yeah, without saying goodbye.
Well, hell, I can't wait that long.
20 minutes? Five. Okay. 4, 6, 3.
Just
let me know.
I have to stop this. All right.
Okay.
I have to stop this. All right. Anyway. Hi.
I'm now degenerated to listening to you listen to YouTube videos.
So thank you for your question, Enigma2K2. I have a written listener question for us that came in snail mail. And
prove it.
I have it right here.
We can't get someone to hang up a phone, but we can get a piece of paper with a question on it.
Now, there is actually, there's another snail mail question that may be coming, but this one beat it too, because I didn't expect this at all. So someone else came up with this idea, but Lumpy read both our minds and did it first, like a jerk. So I bought some stuff off Lumpy, and this was in the box with the stuff.
Okay.
Dearest Vangelis Omegas and my comrade in prime foruming Aaron, unless this is an odd show, then hello, Seth, and potential special guest. I have four questions about things. Have you guys ever considered recording your own commentary tracks for any of the live-action movies? We all know a fan commentary was done for the 86 animated movie, but I would love to hear one for the live-action series where you could point out any silly things. We all know there's a lot. Or any crazy fan speculation like how it looks like Starscream shoots Megatron at the end of the first movie. I'm still personally bummed that that didn't end up being the actual story element. Or unknown trivia and insight that you may have. The main problem with recording a commentary track, and I've never recorded some with the British, is when you do it where you aren't all in the same room, combining it all together in a way where it will A, run synchronously, and B, be easy to synchronize with the movie you're watching is all super troublesome. And doing it all remotely makes it all, like I don't really know how I would do it myself. I would love to do something like this, but I'd want to be sitting in a room with everybody with the movie on in front of us, like the 86 movie animated 86 movie commentary was recorded. That was actually with a bunch of the TFW staff. True story.
Yeah.
And they, I believe they were all in this. I believe they actually had to. I think we shared the story before. The one on the disc is not the first take. Because they had another take of that commentary that got stopped because they were all making fun of stuff and got asked to stop making fun of stuff. Much like Nelson Shin was asked to stop criticizing the movie when he did his commentary piece. But yeah, I'd love to do this. I would rather be in the same room with everybody. So I'm not sure how I would organize that, especially.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, you hear it with us doing a podcast, and we've been doing this for how long, start to talk over each other. Now imagine having that with everybody slightly off sync. Two of us want to say a different bad joke at the same time about something. There, you lose so much in communication when it's voice only with indeterminate Skype lag.
And you know what's great with all of that? Trying to get everyone to push play on the same video file at the same time. That's the worst.
You almost need like a mediator to host the call and pray that the lag and synchronization is close enough.
Because I've done some shut up and watch this is with the Welsh, and it was difficult because we also all didn't have the same exact version of the movie either. And it's tricky, man. Like, and the number of shut up and watch this as they do, I highly respect that, because that stuff is not easy to put together, let alone edit together, let alone, you know, have in a way where it's like the way that Riff Tracks did it back when I was still listening to that stuff is they would just have a robot, or, you know, a highly effects voice say in time lines from the movie now and then, so you'd know how in sync you are. And that's still pretty tricky. So
I haven't heard Disembodio in a long time.
Do they still use him? Or
they use him for the commentary tracks, but they do a lot more stuff now where it's more MST3K, where they don't have a licensing fee for what they're riffing.
Oh, they've been the shorts. So, yeah.
Well, okay. No, not just shorts. They've done full movies too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So yeah, they don't really need to worry about synchronization on those. But I do know the more recent movies, they still have to do the synchronization, and that gets so annoying, because especially if it's like an older movie.
Yeah,
you know, I remember the Nostalgia Critic did one for Batman Returns. It's Batman Forever, and there's like five versions of that movie.
Yeah.
And it has to be the exact one, and you can't, even if you watched all the versions, you couldn't tell the difference.
Well, and that's the problem. It's not even director's cut to theatrical. It's like, well, what company released it? How many headers are on the front of the video? And that's why something like Disembodio is the only way to really do it if you're releasing a separate track, because you need to be able to check that throughout the movie. Not just for different cuts, but even the beginning, the opening of it is the hardest part. Because what if you have a version with, like, three logos, but then the thing was recorded for a version with two logos, you know?
Right.
What if your DVD player hinks up when you push play, thus losing a half second, and then which happened to me a million times when I used to use riff tracks back in the day. Yeah, the technical side of this stuff, when you aren't all in the same room, is, to me, daunting. If you're all in the same room, it's way easier, because you just record a sync track of everything and synchronize that up. But
even presumably, if we had gotten all that together, I'm pretty sure if you sat me down and asked me to record a commentary for Revenge of the Fallen, it'd just be a lot of screaming and frothing at the mouth.
Yeah, you got to be in a certain mood to do that stuff, and you got to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to be for a certain movie, and honestly, you probably want to watch it once or twice to warm up too.
That's the thing. For like a proper track, you've got to watch it so many times.
Because I mean, you can't. There's the level of improv that works, but usually, at least some degree of familiarity with the pace of the movie is a little bit necessary, so you aren't just sitting there going like, "Well, what? Whoa!" You know, because. Some like commentary tracks where you're people who worked on the movie is one thing, but when it's just, you know, a fan commentary, there's got to be, I think, some level of knowledge in there, or the interest level for it is bottomed out, you know, barring very special cases. But yeah, short answer, I'd love to. Lumpy's next question is, next up, lately you guys have been holding toys over the following weeks, but what about getting back for your collection on a small week? It's a weird way to word it. Maybe pull out a toy from years prior to the podcast beginning, then discuss the points you find. I love hearing your opinions every week, so getting opinions on older figures sounds like fun and then gives you something to talk about on a week when nothing is at retail or BBTS is still sitting in the warehouse. I like that idea. I feel weird talking about you guys as an entity when you're sitting in the same Skype room as me, but I'd leave that up to the podcaster, really. For myself, and I, it seems like for Aaron, like holding on to toys because we buy too many is already filling out time pretty well. But I
have, aside from what I'm going to talk about, I have four or five that, you know, it's not like I'm buying a whole lot. It's just between work and everything, I've not had a ton of time to be able to check everything out. So
yeah, but
why talk about, I've got this box.
I'm all into the idea of what we got this week, including what I got from storage, what I got off my shelf this week. Like something that sometimes is kind of fun. Like, you know, everyone who collects too many things eventually has a lot of them that they haven't touched in like over a year. It's kind of fun pulling one of those down and rediscovering it. You know, So I am totally for that idea. Hopefully Seth hears this. If you guys ever want to pull one off the shelf to talk about that's pretty older, you know, especially if it's pre-podcast, go for it. That's fun discussion. Damn it, Lumpy. He says he has four questions and he asks three. He's messing with me. His final question is, why hasn't anyone made third-party Duocons or Skylinks? Good goddamn question. Especially Skylinks. I can't believe no one's done Skylinks yet. That's like...
Yeah.
Prime, untapped material. And the engineering on that is so simple on the base level. All you have to do is make a Lynx fold into a rectangular box and have legs grow out of a space shuttle. And just take that and fill it up with all kinds of crazy stuff. I'd love to see that. It's for Duocons. Yes. Apparently, not enough of us care. But
well, there's a reason that not a lot of us care. They were kind of awful even for G1.
That's why we need new. We need to pursue the character, like, of Battletrap.
It's like a double-edged sword. Like, you take a look at, the likes of, like, Flywheels, and it's a toy that can't even hold its gun straight.
That's why we need someone to step up.
This is a double-edged sword, because it's prime material for improving, because it wouldn't be hard.
And it's still G1.
It really wouldn't.
It's still the whole third-party, built-in, necessary draw of, yo, we made posable G1.
Jeez, but at the same time, they were so bad back then, you can't find enough people to buy it.
I don't know. You market it the right way, and then people just be like, I always wanted better duo cons. And
no, the way you do it, we've got an overlord on the way, a not overlord on the way.
We've got two now.
Well, you market one or the other as the what would you call it? The twin cons?
I'd say
come up with some. You make him like, you know, TC01, and then 02 is flywheel, 03 is battle trap.
Binary masters.
There you go.
Yeah, I've talked about this many times, but the moment a third party does a duocon, I will look at it with wide eyes. And yeah, Skylynx, I never even thought about that, but it astounds me that Skylynx hasn't even been silhouetted yet. Anyway, Lumpy goes on to say, thank you for your time and making entertainment for my ear holes. Lumpy, I will put anything in your holes, sir. P.S. I just spent 45 minutes looking for Auto Launcher's missile launcher. Then I noticed there's a flap on the back of his alt mode, which contains said missile launcher. Enjoy the new toys. I'll be talking about those a little bit more later. I mentioned them last week, but the auto rollers, I did not talk about much last week, and I messed with them more since then. So look forward to that in our... Well, actually, you know what? It's intermission time, so look forward to that in a few minutes, if that. And yeah, snail mail questions, whatever, man. We need to have a postman character on here. We need to have like a, you know, Mr. Speedy Delivery kind of person. Knocks at my door.
Start to just make a character.
Yeah, that's stupid. Why would we ever make a character for a part of the podcast who comes up periodically when it's topical? Dumb. By the way, there's a bunch of Transformers 4 spoilers, but they're... I'm going to say it here before the intermission.
How many of those are even terribly spoilers?
I almost put that as a topic until I read it and saw that 3/4 of the character descriptions were, this dude is super cool. And I was like, alright, well...
He's even cooler than the other one.
You know, the Stingray car Transformer? He's cool. But the Bugatti? Damn, he's cool. It's like, thanks, Nelson!
And there's explosions. Go figure.
Yeah, there's gonna also we're setting up pyros. Something's gonna blow up in this movie. Thanks, Nelson. Thank you, keeping us all in the loop on the. So that's why that topic is in here. Because what are we gonna talk about? There's one with a beard, and apparently he's full of character because he's the one with the beard.
Like the chubby guy from Braveheart, I think is how he put it.
Yeah, but when he said he's full of character, I was like, I bet you're about to say because he has a beard. Anyway, intermission time. I installed this podcast for about 3 minutes playing with something I'm going to talk about later. How's that for professionality? High end.
Truly professionality.
Yeah. Let's talk about what we got this week. Let's talk about Transformers we got this week. I think we have a couple Transformers we can talk about this week. One way or another. Aaron.
Yeah.
Did you Transformer?
Yes, I transformed.
Did you?
I transformed 3 things.
Did you transform big time?
Maybe. First transformer thing I got, I did get myself a Skylynx. Thank you
really?
Very much. Yeah. Yeah, the Predacons Rising.
So did you ever get Skystalker?
Yes.
Okay, I did. I've still never seen him at retail.
Since getting that Skystalker, I have not seen anything but like the first wave Beast Hunters guys. I've not seen Croc out.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. I've not seen any of that wave, and then I just like once or twice I've seen the what would have been whatever wave 2 with Ratchet. And that was just like just before TFCon, because I saw that a couple times. I was like, hey, does anybody want these? And I had a few people say, yeah, it might be neat. And then it's, well, is that a yes? People don't understand why I'm asking.
Slight tangent, but I saw Jared put out the call when he found that Skyquake.
Yeah.
And I almost replied to him. And then I paused and I was like, you know what? I don't think I actually really want it. And I let it go.
But yeah, so the difference between the two is purely paint. I had thought that the faces were different. I thought maybe we'd get that much, but no, just drastically, or not even drastically different, just slightly different paint apps for the face.
Yeah.
But I almost prefer to have the dragon head as the head for them anyway.
I feel super weird about that figure, because I kept messing with him, and I don't dislike him. But I don't super like him, and I honestly don't know how I feel about him.
Yeah, I sit right in the same camp. I think I like it better than Skystalker, because on at least my Skystalker, the swirl plastic just looks bad.
It
looks like it's nastied up. I think the wing. I wish the wings were ball joint, not all swivels. Maybe.
Yeah, and,
it's like,
and
it's like it needs something a little bit different.
And the legs, like I feel like I'm transforming them more than I would if he just stood up. But I also feel like he's just standing up, and it's weird.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's that like early Beast Wars transformation issue of it's just like an animal that stands up.
And also, I find it, his legs, I wish they could straighten a bit more. Like, I find his center of balance super weird.
Yeah.
And
I have him with a very crouched leg. And I think that's about the best stance I get out of him. If I try to extend the legs up, it seems like it just pushes that center back a little bit too far.
On the right
but
side,
if you
like,
have
I,
him you can really run, bent. Oh, go ahead.
You can run his wings, like, under his arms. To move that balance point pretty well, which is cool.
Right, but if you're trying to do anything with the wings, you know, because he does have impressive wings and an impressive wingspan,
yeah,
it just still leaves him weighted back a little bit, unless you... I mean, I kind of have him tail as tripod-style balance to be a little bit more dynamic with everything, but... If you're going to get one of them, I think I like Skylinks better. Plus, he's the one that ends up in Predacons Rising, so he's a show character, if that means anything to you.
You haven't seen that yet. It's not out.
I'm just reading synopses. They pretty much give everything away anymore.
Oh, you're spoiling it for yourself. That's right. Yeah. Check out Primetime.
I think the package actually had As Seen In or something like that on it.
Oh, right. I forgot about that part.
Yeah. Still has the same kind of anemic disc launchers.
Yeah.
No swirl plastic.
I keep forgetting these things actually launch.
Yeah. Just barely, theoretically. It'll launch.
I feel like my finger hits it and pushes it back as it's trying to launch it, almost.
Yep.
Because the trigger's so far in there.
Yeah, by the time you're pushing it, it's just... The only thing you're doing is pushing it past the friction point.
Well, they roll.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's messed up launcher gimmick. Also, picked up a IDW hoist.
Ah!
The only thing's different. I had hoped that there would be, like, some paneling changes for the vehicle modes, and there aren't. Which is a little bit of a bummer because they've been pretty good about making other cosmetic changes along the way.
Yeah.
The difference is different face sculpt and the crane weapon, which I get. I had initially thought that mine was built backwards because The way that it looks on the packaging is that you take the crane and you plug it into the bed of the truck, but instead there is a hole in the back of the truck cab that it plugs into.
Yeah, that's where it's supposed to go.
And it allows the crane to hang normally.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to go there. It is weird at first, and
yeah.
And does yours hold together okay, or does the friction joint come apart kind of easy?
The friction joint in the middle of the hinge for the gun that ends up being like the gun barrel, that thing pops off like nothing.
Yeah, I loaded that with floor polish immediately. Now it's great.
Yeah,
I actually need to
get myself some of your magic floor polish.
Same bottle I've been using ever since 2011.
So it sounds like it's a good investment.
Yep, it's like a $10 bottle.
Yeah. The one issue that I kind of had was a paint thing. The orange paint for his top of shin knee.
Yep.
On the green bleeds through.
Mine too. It's it's a very poor orange paint. It looks like they used an enamel almost.
Yeah, if they'd shot it twice, it'd be better, but
yeah.
Beyond that, hey, they're pretty much the same thing. Do you want a shieldy gun or a tow hook gun? Do you like green or black?
Tow hook gun looks way cooler.
Yeah, I think the tow hook gun is cooler. They did do a decent job head-on painting things slightly differently to bring out some detail and kind of hide other details to give it a little bit of a different look, but
yeah,
I for some reason was thinking this would be a case where they popped the, you know, do a different door or something. But
I really wish they painted his eyes.
Yeah, that whole lot of green for a face just drops off
the light piping just isn't bold. It doesn't catch light very well.
Well, it's like I can't tell if it's a greenish, yellowish, like it's, mine looks like it's maybe a yellowish smoke.
It's yellow
for the light piping.
It is yellow. It doesn't look yellow at all until you put light through it.
Yeah, here, let me actually get like iOS 7 light. Yeah, I guess it is yellow. Without a bright light LED behind it every time, it's looked like a gray smoke almost.
Yeah.
Well, and it doesn't have a big, like, light-accepting area to it either.
And he has a huge thing behind his head as well to happily block it. Having disassembled his head to beef up the peg it's on, because that was really loose on mine, the whole light pipe piece is just, it's a single piece that's really easy to actually, like, you can just pull his head apart, you take the screw out the back, and you can paint the eyes really easy if you want to. Vaguely tempted to.
Well, and that's the thing with Trail Breaker Cutter, whatever. His, up to the screw on his head, is all clear plastic, which has got to help with allowing light in versus
just the
band that's right behind the head being the thing that's accepting light.
Slot. But,
yeah. I don't know. I still enjoy it. Still good toy. In retrospect, probably would have only bought one, but I was in a, well, I'd kind of like to have something newish, and this is something I've been looking for, so let's buy it.
We had a talk some time ago on the show about how we all got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
It was a listener question.
I don't know. I was also in a bit of a funk due to work issues that was like, I'll make myself happy with a toy.
Shopping therapy. I've done it. I did it yesterday. It was really stupid. I'm going to talk about it later.
Yeah. I got yet another round of, while we said you need to be here all the time on the job site, we don't, you're running out of money to be here all the time. So I don't need to be here all the time? Well, yeah, you need to be here for important things. And you won't know what the important thing is until halfway through the day.
On the bright side to take from that is they want to use you more than they can afford you.
Yes.
So that's a good thing, technically.
Yeah.
It's also kind of a bummer.
Then you have days like today where at 7:30 in the morning before you'd even left to go to the site, they had hit an 8-inch water main and ended up causing a boil order for the town. But, you know, hey, whatever.
Yeah, congratulations, Aaron.
So I rewarded myself for that by today getting myself a Fort Max.
I caused a boiler warning, so I bought Fortress Maximus.
Yeah. No, with Big Bad's Fort Max sale that ends like now. Today, I think now.
10 minutes.
So if you're just hearing about it, sorry.
It ends in ten. I'm gonna go check. Actually, maybe it already ended. Let's have a look. See, the price on that was $230 and shipping. To most Americans, that's $20 shipping.
$20, yeah.
The $250 Fortress Maximus is very hard to look in the mouth, and the sale is already over.
Womp womp.
I wonder if they sold out because the Fortress Maximus stock dipped. No, he's still here. They just took the sale off the front page, but he's still on sale.
Oh, cool.
And the page doesn't say anything about a date cutoff now.
Huh.
Oh, you sneaky.
Sneaky gets.
We'll see tomorrow. I'll check this tomorrow. We'll see.
Check it in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
See if it's an automatic thing.
If you want a random single from Kabaya Fortress Maximus, those are also on sale.
Hey, you might get lucky.
Or you could just buy a box of five.
Or you could just get a leg.
Yeah. Sir, you got Fortress Maximus.
Yeah. Gasket and grommet are neat. The giant honking sword is a giant honking sword. And the dogs are wondering what this giant plastic thing is in the middle of the living room. Had Brave Max before, so there's nothing about the toy that seems terribly new. I think I've seen a couple things, but I didn't have the chance between it finally showing up about 2 hours before we started recording and being able to pull everything apart. Out of the styrofoam to be able to see, but I think this has clips to clip in, like the tower part that goes around the waist that has the guns that pop out. I think that has clips where Brave doesn't have clips. I'm not sure. I'd need to pull Brave down to be sure, but I'm pretty. Yeah. I think that there's differences there. The first thing that I noticed and had a minor sad was where Brave is better. Is he has windows painted in on anything that looks like it's floors. Or it's like, oh, this light is on in this room to give you an idea of, hey, this is supposed to be pretty big.
Yeah.
And instead it's all gray.
Yeah, I was really hoping...
G1-tastic.
I was hoping the Encore end of Encore Fortress Maximus was going to lead to a whole lot more paint apps, but it didn't, as far as I know.
Yeah. Which I can... understand.
I'm not mad about it. I built it up for myself because Encore had this history of doing that stuff and
going way above and beyond. But this big and at the much reduced price point was very hard to say no.
I
wish it was still the for that Korean Brave that I have of the $100 and $5 shipping, but in this day and age, getting that. Well, I mean, the crazy thing is I saw people talking about buying it even before the sale because it was cheaper to get the parts that they were missing.
Oh, yeah,
to just have something to display than going out and buying, the Cerberus's gun is $35 or whatever crazy price it was to parts up something where they're like, I'll buy it to have something to display and fill out the couple parts that are missing and have bone white ramps because I want bone right ramps.
Yeah, I was talking to someone at TFCon. I don't know if he wants to be named, but that's basically why he bought Encore Fortress Maximus was to finish off his incomplete one and have a basically a spare body on the side.
And especially with that body, you can turn it into, it's a city thing to have stuff be posable on it.
Yeah.
I hope everybody that's listening got one for themselves and love it as the small child that it is.
Or if you decide to skip it, I hope that you took that as, some kind of hard decision to make. Because there are people who are just like, I just don't want Fortress Maximus. And they are the smart people who don't have to deal with a 2-foot-tall toy.
Yeah, and I'm still looking for a Metroplex to put beside it and go, look, you're finally out of the way there, chump.
You know what's really stupid? Is I already have Metroplex, and that makes me want a Maximus, so I have the two big ones, which is really dumb. Because it's like, I already have a giant one taking up lots of space. I should get the other one that takes up lots of space.
Yeah, you've got the new apartment. You need things to fill it out.
Yeah.
Actually, what the best deal would have been if had you bought four of these Encore Maxes, you could have had the bed like the four corners of a coffee table.
Or just use them to hold up my bed. Get rid of the frame.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, they're strong enough to even hold your
my ample weight. My 500 yes. pounds of Chinese German. I'm not 500 pounds. I look it,
oh,
but I'm
so,
not.
So you've lost a little weight? That's good.
Yeah, I'm down to 497.
Congratulations.
I stopped frying the donuts after they were cooked and just fry them the one time.
Yeah.
I'm strong. I'm glad that you got Fort... I'm glad you got Fort Max. I'm glad you got in on that deal. Anyone who got in on it, you know, I will support your decision. And anyone who chose to skip it, I will call you the smarter man or woman, depending who you are.
And this was definitely going, okay, I am going to... This is... I will now be burning through my backlog of other things that I have bought. And I may be going the route of, I'm going to go check out something from, like, Beast Wars and talk about it. Because I don't got nothing.
Go for it. You should bring up some of those old toys, because I forget about them and how cool some of them are. And that was a fun part about when... When GOG was buying Beast Wars toys. Those were some fun what we got. Because I was like, I forgot that toy was cool.
I'll go, I have the Bat, Optimus Prime and Crocodile Megatron.
You just show up and be like, hey, so I got a prototype of the Grand Mal. I felt it would go real nice with my Fortress Maximus, so I made an offer to that guy, and I sold a person. And one of the people who come out to your Extra Life thing are never heard from again.
Well, that's, I mean, there's like, working on a dozen people or so going to be showing up, so... What's one? It's less than 10%.
Who's gonna notice?
Still an A.
Alright. Unless you got any other salient thoughts on the Zen of the Fortress Maximus, my only question for you
big,
is...
Big, big toy.
Is anything broken on it, or is it all good?
Everything appears to be fine. The winchy thing on the inside winches. Why, were there people with... issues of stuff breaking?
There were issues when it came out, and I noticed on Big Bad's thing, they said that all of their Fort Maxes have been quality controlled, and as a result, they are double taped, which meant that all of them were opened and checked. Because apparently that was a thing when people were getting these at first, is that there were some Fort Maxes who, like, there's someone who got one with, like, someone with, like, a broken part, someone got one that was missing a hand, or something like that.
Okay. I saw no evidence that mine had been opened previously. But
they taped it up again, that's why. They're careful.
Could be. Three pieces of tape around it?
There's only supposed to be two! No! Alright. Well, if that's all you're Transformers-ing, then Omegas Prime, did you Transformers this week?
No.
What?!
No.
What, were you spending money on something more expensive than a Transformer or something?
Jeez. Well, I can't tell you that now.
That's right, you can't. It's not a Transformer.
No, it's not. Much as I tried.
Yeah, that would have been an extra $500.
Oh.
Alright, well, we will come back around to that. I got some Transformers-ing to talk about. So I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. So I bought off Lumpy the Beast Wars the Second Auto Rollers and the Transformers SS Circuit. So I busted open the Auto Rollers and played around with them a whole bunch, and goddamn, those are fun toys. I had never played with the Auto Rollers before. Those were the toys. Two of them came out, I think, in limited quantities in G2, and then two of them had never come out until Beast Wars the Second. And so the two that never came out feel way more advanced than the original two. Like, there's a definite disparity right down to the functionality. But they are all super fun. The rolling transforming gimmick is so tight. I highly... Like, if you want just a cool transformer, like, and a great desk toy, check these things out. Because their arms are still, like, pretty modern poseable. It's just the rest of the body, it's kind of unposeable. Due to the gimmick, but
and that's like gimmick based, right? Because
like it's because they fold up when you roll them.
Yeah.
And the thing is, all but three of, like, the only one who doesn't really look super cool is Auto Crasher with the disc launcher, the red one with the missile launcher that Lumpy mentioned before in the trunk. His aesthetics are a little bit more G1 than G2. The rest of them, though, are like they look like the best parts of G2 in terms of just the sculpt aesthetics. And man, the green one has a working buzzsaw for a hand. It's so cool. I love those things. So check them out if you've never checked them out. They're, as far as I know, they're not expensive to get a hold of in terms of older toys.
From what I've seen, the only ones that might run you a little bit more is, I think, Autojetter, which was the most popular one.
And he is one of my favorites. He's not my favorite, but I think he's my second favorite. I think my favorite is the green one.
See, that's the first one I picked up, and I never played with one before, and I just thought, oh, this is surprisingly fun.
Yeah, the shovel one, or not shovel, the bucket loader thing, whatever you call it. It pushes stuff. He's the one with the buzzsaw for the hand. Yeah, he's great. He's great. He even has like little tabs so you can manually work his shovely bucket thing in the vehicle mode. And him and the Jet are the ones who have the more modernized functionality where they have three settings on the Switch, because the two G2 ones are basically you flip it one way for it to be off, or you flip it the other way for it to be like going one way is robot to vehicle, the other way is vehicle to robot. Auto Jetter and the green one I really like, because I can't remember their names. I think his name is Auto Stinger. They have a different setup where there's three settings. The middle is it's off and they can freewheel, and then left is like forward. I can't remember the exact thing, but left and right, one of them is forward is robot to vehicle and back is vehicle to robot, and then the other end is they flip it so you can have them go forward and turn into something else. It's really cool. I highly recommend checking those things out if you just like fun toys. Mm-hmm. Last weekend I was at Action Figure Expo and I bought one thing. Ultra Primal. I suddenly noticed right at the end of the show, he had Transformers SS Slipstream for $60. And I was like, that's pretty much what she cost. And I heard she was pretty decent. So I bought it. I actually went to the ATM to buy it. So I cared more about this than about the Kabayas that I let sit in the dealer room. So I picked up the subscription service Slipstream. The head is way better in person. Way better in person than in those photos we saw. And the only downside of the toy is you really do have to figure out a good mistransformation that doesn't involve the hunch. Because with the hunch, Slipstream doesn't really look all that good.
Yeah.
Without the hunch, and it feels like the way I have it transformed, it actually locks together still pretty decently without the hunch. I have like the two tabs that go into the back. I have them resting right on top of the torso.
Okay. That's where I've got them on mine.
Yeah. And that it pretty much holds together, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like, great.
She still feels solid.
Yeah. And the head sculpt is pretty good. And the only thing that's missing from it is it's on the artwork on the bio card, and they're sculpted on there is she needs lipstick, I think. And I'm super tempted to grab some dark, dark, dark purple paint and give it a go with a toothpick. But I've been trying to see if anyone's actually done it so I can see what the end result... Like, when I did that with the animated RC, so I think someone else had tried it already, so I had an idea of what it would look like. In this case, it doesn't look like anyone's actually tried it. So I don't know how it might turn out, but I feel like it would finish off the look really, really well. I don't know. If anyone listening has seen it done, you know... lipsticking up the subscription service Slipstream, please let me know if someone has actually done that. But yeah, otherwise the colors are pretty good. The paint's decent. The paint work on the head with the red eyes is quite strong. To the point where I'm really surprised they didn't do lipstick, especially given how insane the level of paint app work was on Scourge's head. I'm really surprised that the lipstick is on the bio card, but not on the figure. Anyway, yeah, it turned out pretty well. And for $60, which is, I think it's pretty much at cost, it's decent. I dug it. I also, that having picked up Slipstream and with a jackpot secured via Pajama Prime, everything I want out of this subscription line has pretty much been set up for me, and I've only interacted with FunPub once. Granted, some, like Aaron, might say that's one time too many. I said it for you. What's up?
Yeah.
Oh, and I have a funny story. Cheers Ian got his subscription service breakdown like the day before AFX, and he sold it at AFX for real fine price. It was cool. But I was surprised that someone in Canada had gotten one that fast. I took a look at that breakdown, and I still feel very much nothing looking at it. That leads me to my last Transformers thing I got about half an hour before I called you guys, which was Masterpiece Prowl. And the problem is that neither of you have him. I don't want to talk too much about him because I don't want to just sit here saying he's great over and over again, because that's pretty much what I'd be saying. This is a freaking...
Is he great?
He's fantastic! I actually tried transforming him without instructions, and at one point, at the very end, I kind of had to go to instructions to see how one thing worked. But it's a very simple thing. It just has to do with the orientation of parts. Beautiful toy. His vehicle mode is... basically, he is everything that worked about Sideswipe, except some things are done slightly better, in my opinion. So if you dug Masterpiece Sideswipe, I think you'll be very happy with Masterpiece Datsun, depending which one you get.
It's After Midnight and Encore 23 is still on clearance. Maybe it's Central Time. Maybe they're letting the West Coast people.
I think think it out. If it changes, it'll be when someone wakes up in the morning and goes to work in the big bad office
and flips that switch.
Yeah, but the vehicle mode is beautiful, and it tabs once you get it. Like, it's not hard to tab together, and once it tabs together, rock friggin' solid. The only bummer is the doors are not really easy to open in vehicle mode. They're kind of meant to only open when you're transforming them. And despite that, they actually sculpted full interiors on the insides of the doors.
That's not bad.
Which is really cool. And yeah, this guy, he transforms very similar to G1 Prowl, but with some extremely key differences that are hard to explain. I don't really know how to explain them without showing you. The way his feet transform involve a double hinge rather than just folding them up. There's no pull. If anyone out there is going to get one and is going to go no instructions like I did, it feels like you're supposed to just pull his legs out, but you don't. So once it stops not working, stop doing it before you break the toy. There's a really interesting double hinge, and like the way his legs transform is super cool. There's even a little thing on the doors, so the doors fold outwards, and then they have a one click to angle upwards. And the best part of this guy, though, is the robot mode looks a million times better in person than it did in photos, and it already looked pretty good in photos. But the amazing magic trick of the robot mode is that from the right angles, you can make him look impossibly slim, considering that he has, you know, the car hood for a chest. If you tilt him the right way, like, if you look at him dead on, his chest looks pretty wide. You tilt him all of... like 20 degrees and his chest disappears. The optical illusion of his chest is astounding to me. And another big improvement he has over Sideswipe is that his head sculpt is really good and isn't sunken so far in the helmet that it looks like it's completely gone. His eyes are bright, his face is clear, and he looks like goddamn Prowl. The Masterpiece Datsuns, whichever one you get, and honestly, if you get one, you're probably going to end up getting the other two, if you have the budget for it, is on to say they're on par with Sideswipe would be a vast understatement. This is definitely everything that I think a lot of us hoped it would be, given how well the first one, Sideswipe, turned out. Masterpiece is back and kicking ass, and I am... friggin' stoked to see how they do Wheeljack. Bumblebee will be cool, but man, a Wheeljack done on the level of this Prowl will make my nuts explode in a giant cloud of blood and happy, nerdy gasms. So yeah, he turned out okay. Omegas, I know you've got one waiting to be shipped.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, have you got one secured at all?
Nope.
Damn.
I just bought a Fort Max.
Oh yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Well, they're releasing three of these, so I'm pretty sure it won't be hard to get a hold of one of the Datsuns. Like, somewhere.
Yeah.
And maybe these ones will get an American release, who knows? But, Yeah, they turn out super well. I'm kind of transforming them now. Look what you made me start doing. This is your fault, not mine. Oh, he also has, So this is something I think is easy to miss in the promo shots. So you know how he has those flip-out shoulder launchers?
Yeah.
And they look kind of small? They are kind of small, but the kind of cool thing is the main cylinder actually extends out a little bit to at least give them more of the shape of how they're supposed to look. So it's not just a pair of cans on his shoulders. It's more like, once you extend it, it's like a long can on a small cylinder attached to a mechanism. So it just makes them look more like real things. That was kind of a cool touch. I'm transforming him. We gotta keep moving. Or that's our Transformers this week. Let's erase that from my list. All right, so we're gonna get into the off-topic section of things. So, Omega's Prime. I definitely know what one of your off-topic things are. Are you using it?
At the moment, yeah.
Man, he's even using it. This guy. What did you do?
Kind of got a new computer.
Bet you did.
That I did. Did it myself.
Yeah, I was actually watching that live stream for a bit while I was working on something.
Oh, you were there for that boring broadcast.
Oh, yeah, for a little bit, and then it basically turned into the thing you just said. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You hit the wall of, oh right, this is impossible to live stream without a crew.
Yeah. That, and it was just like, well, you know, I'm concentrating way too hard to be quippy here. So there's no way I could be a good host for this. But yeah, this is the first, like, actual computer build I ever did. Everything is from parts, built myself, with video proof that I got it right the first time and nothing caught fire.
Yeah, I have still never built a computer.
Jeez. I've been on the edge twice, and both times gone, man, it's going to be a whole lot more hoop jumping that I want to do.
I just hit this point where, you know, every year I go to this convention in Tampa, I bring home about 100 gigabytes of footage, and I task myself with editing it down into bite-sized watchable chunks. And I always hit this point where my camera's little system of every 11 minutes is 2 gigs, so start new file.
Yeah.
It started to hit the point where some of these things I record take like 5 or 6 of those, and every one of them had like a 50-50 chance of crashing my editor because my computer couldn't physically handle them. So it gets to the point where when it crashes out like 4 times trying to make one video and your computer becomes totally useless while it is processing, encoding, or anything involving the video, it's just a... Yeah, this thing's fighting me too hard. It's time to go.
Yeah, it's, anyone who has a computer that does more than email with it hits that cycle every 5 years or so.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, gamers will hit that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, the bad part was this was, like, bought off the rack at Best Buy. So, it was old before, you know, it was old when I bought it new.
Oh, yeah, I've bought those. There's a trick, kind of, to at least, like, working a deal. So it'll be outdated, but at least it'll be good outdated, and maybe you can get a deal on it. But that was back in Victoria, I got to know a lot of the people who worked in the London Drugs computer section. So I was able to wheel and deal some stuff now and then.
Mm.
But clearly you're on the podcast right now, so obviously it must be working to some degree.
Yeah. Working extremely well. For what I paid, I would expect it to.
It's on fire. It's all on fire.
No, this thing has performed beautifully. I was, you know, there. It's a really nice feeling when you go to boot up Skyrim that I always had to view on the lowest, most pixelated and small framed settings possible, just to get it running. For it to read your computer and go, we have automatically set your settings to ultra high.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
What is your score, your system score?
My system score.
Oh, God, I never even looked at that. I'm going to look at that now that you guys are talking about it. How do you look that up?
Yeah. That is, you go control panel, system.
But is this, like, accurate?
And it has
or
your
this...
Windows Experience Index.
Is this accurate, or is this more like how new is your stuff?
This is what I'm asking.
Okay. Want to know mine?
Yeah.
So you don't have to click on Experience Index, right? It's the number that's right next to it.
Right. If you click on it, it breaks it down.
Oh,
but...
okay, yeah. oh, man. Mine is 5.9.
Okay. Mine is 4.9, and that subscore is in the graphics.
Oh, my subs...
Gaming graphics is a 6.2, but for some reason... Desktop performance for Windows Aero is a 4.9.
This isn't an average. It just picks the lowest one.
Yeah.
Yeah, my processor 7.4, memory 7.4, yep. graphics yep. and gaming graphics 6.8, primary hard disk data transfer rate 5.9.
Oh, so that's the thing holding you down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's yours?
Mine is clocking in at a 7.8.
Ah. Out of 1.0 to 7.9. So apparently your computer's worth something.
Apparently so.
And until they arbitrarily ratchet these numbers around. And,
yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's called the Windows Experience Score, so I'm yeah. sure there's some kind of capitalistic intent behind them to a degree. I never looked at this. I thought that 5.9 was going to have you all laughing at me, but I guess we can all point and laugh at someone else who's under 5.
I don't know how my gaming graphics can be so much higher than my normal graphics.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Also, I for all the laughing I'm doing, that means that whatever's going to happen, my hard drive is going to explode one day.
That's just your data transfer rate. You need to. If you had more RPMs on your hard drive, it'd be better.
I probably should actually defrag it once too.
That might help.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is running really pretty, and apparently it scores well.
Yeah. That means until they do a hardware revision, Windows thinks you're the coolest guy.
It better.
Then they're going to go like, hey, we released a new graphics card. You still want to be the coolest guy?
Jeez. I actually took the time to do the vanity thing, and I put lights on the inside, and I put my logo on the window.
Someday, when I have a custom-made computer, I want to put purple and blue LEDs in it. Someday.
Nerds.
Listen, a child dreams. That child becomes a teenager and those dreams begin to become visions. That teenager becomes an adult. Is it so wrong for that adult to hold on to his visions and dreams? Purple and blue LEDs.
Nerd.
I want it to be water-cooled too, even though I'm not going to overclock it. I just want to say I have a water-cooled PC.
I actually underclock it. That's why I water cool it. Yeah. Right.
I just run the water through it.
I'm just afraid one day it'll. One transistor will pop on the board. And
listen, it gets hot in the summer here, okay? I just. The water also has LEDs in it.
LED water.
Okay. I put food coloring in. I crack some of that glow in the dark stuff in there, too. Anyway, I'm holding a rave later on. We're going to play some mad, sick EBM. Put this tablet under your tongue. It'll be like the Matrix.
Tablet is actually like an iPad.
No, it's LSD. I can confirm
I prefer
that.
The idea of trying to put an iPad under your tongue.
That's what happens after you start using the hallucinogen. Then maybe you will start putting other things under your tongue.
Don't worry, it's Apple. They'll make one small enough in like 6 months.
Man, so how Will It Blend showed up on my subscription list on YouTube out of nowhere?
That's still a thing?
That's what I said. He's like, yeah, I didn't even click on it. It was just him looking much older, holding a stack of new iPhone 5Ss and whatever, going like, Will These Blend? I'm like, oh, I guess someone opened up that set and he was asleep on the table in there or something. I haven't seen a video from that guy in like a year and a half, but I also haven't been paying attention. Anyway, you reminded me of that.
Jeez, like how many things can you like throw in a blender before people just go, yeah, same video?
I think people are already doing that, and I think people were doing that many years ago.
Yeah,
you know what, though? Watching something blend is kind of fun.
Yeah. No, it's eventually, like, especially, you know, if it's something new, this is part of every human being. It's like, I wonder what that looks like when it's obliterated. So, yeah, if you want to see the new iPhones explode in a blender, that's apparently up on YouTube now. I don't know if I'm going to... I'm probably going to end up watching it. Actually, you know what? Yeah, I'm probably going to end up watching it probably tonight while I'm working on something and need to distract myself. Sigh. And, end cap on that computer, has it shown a marked improvement in the video editing realm of processing?
Oh my god. Oh my god.
No, after all that work,
yeah,
it hasn't.
My god, it did nothing! I can't believe...
It's actually slower.
Final Cut Pro X, god damn. You know what? I heard it's getting better, but I haven't tried it.
No, the last review I did as of this recording, this was an 11 minute video. I remember the stats. It was like 12 gigs of video with all the demos I had to do for it.
Mm-hmm.
11 minute video. This was like a 1.2 gigabyte file size to crunch down to. It encodes the thing in 5 minutes.
Nice.
And I could run a game while it's encoding. It's like it doesn't even break a sweat.
Tower.
Well, it used to be like, I got a 20 minute review to edit. I'm gonna go get lunch.
Yeah.
And maybe it's done by the time I get back.
Tower of Power. Excellent. Oh, congratulations. Aside from a completely new modern computer with a high score, did you buy anything else this week?
I did manage to squirrel away a little bit more budget. So
I also bought a Fortress Maximus. Surprise!
No. I've got... Hey, you people whining about having Metroplex and Fort Max. I've already got two Maxes here, and I've got a Metroplex pre-order.
I just wanted to be part of the time, Ghost. I bought another one.
Well, just one every week until everybody else has it.
My original one was not white enough. Huh. No. Strangely enough, I bought some more Gaia memories.
Oh. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit too, a bit, but I'm going to make an experience out of it. You straight up bought the sets, right?
Yeah. I've got a preferred seller. He put up all 14 in one whack. Yep, mine.
Is that preferred seller going to be your $700 box of things source too, do you think? Or?
Probably not that source.
Hey, at least one of them is a little animal thing. Here's your money's worth.
Yes. Everyone said that. It's like, are you getting the zoo memory? And like, oh, yeah. And like the other 98 it comes with.
Oh, no, it doesn't come with anything else. Does it? Oh, it does. Oh. So you pretty much are caught up then on these new ones.
Yeah, I am once again done until later.
Have you considered putting them all into like a bag, like a thin bag, hanging it from your ceiling, getting underneath it, then cutting the bottom open and just seeing what happens?
just rain
not until,
down.
Not until this moment.
I'm making it rain.
Better yet, you need to rig up some sort of device to push all the buttons at once.
Yes!
You know how many times I've tried that?
I bet you you're not the only one who's
not
tried that.
Not hard enough.
I have an idea for such a device. Duct tape a bunch of rulers together. And then crisscross them put a bed on top of them and just lie down on the bed to simultaneously push all the buttons at once. Be a great way to go to sleep.
No, but I finally figured out the trick to these things.
Push the button!
Yes. I couldn't figure it out!
It never made noise! It's such garbage!
No, I figured this out. Because the last time I told you that I got my stronger memory, and I was happy to have stronger memory, and then I hit the button, and I was like, that's not stronger's noise. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
No, I figured out what all of these things are doing. They took the very first time it was ever aired, and they sampled that for the memories.
That's the debut stronger noise.
It's, yeah, because if you watch episode one, it matches almost perfectly.
Okay.
And that's the case with all the Ultimate ones, well, most of the Ultimate ones, too. Because it explains why some of them are like 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you right now, they're all coded, they're all painted so that they match with the old writer memories, so the Ultimate and the original can all work together. But it really only works if the Ultimate one goes second. Otherwise, it just gets completely drowned out and absorbed.
Yeah. So have you made a flowchart yet for filming all the different combinations with all these new memories?
Oh, God.
Because that looks like a flowchart kind of thing, because that's, what, 28? That's flowchart.
It's 28 with just those waves, and I've got 5 more from the wave before.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not flowcharting it. I figure one time with each is enough if I calculate it so that you can hear both of them at the same time. I've thought way too hard about how to do it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. All I can think of is flowcharts.
Flowcharts.
But, this is actually... Did you get anything else this week?
No, strangely enough, 1500 on a computer pretty much taps you out.
Well, you can get a 4 Max.
Yeah.
So I got my 2 sets of 6 random Gaia memories from those 28. So I have 12 of the 28. And so I was curious how they'd ship. Do you know how they ship from HLJ? Long white boxes. Sealed long white boxes. So apparently that's how the Gashapon machines get them, is in long white boxes of 6 blind packed. It's a long white box with a barcode sticker on the end, says DX, Gaia Memory, blah blah blah, and Katakana. So I figure I'll just open them up right now while we're talking, and we'll find out together which ones I got. These little bubbles are screw capped. That's kind of cool. I forgot they do that. The Gashapon bubbles that come in have screws on them.
Right.
Alright, first one I got is liner form. I don't want to have to open all these and pull the tabs out. I'm just going to look at the sticker. It'll save us, you know, some hassle and some noise.
Yeah.
Next one. I can see the number, but I can't see the symbol, so I got to open them up to see the symbol. I got number 3. Oh, is that a dead ant inside? No, it's not. Never mind. That'd have been gross. So these bubbles are also, like, taped shut.
Oh, right.
Kind of annoying. These are really nice, though. They're like thick, dense plastic, and they screw closed. I got to use these for something.
Well, yeah, they got to survive a tumble down the machine.
Yeah. I got Kiva Emperor. The liner form, Deno, Kiva Emperor. Let's close this back up again. Oh, that's
now
satisfying.
5 more Denos.
Yep. Yeah, I have no idea if the collation on this even prevents doubles or not.
That's what I kept wondering. They just like,
You know what? That wonder is why I went through with the order, because I was like, I'm tired of wondering how this will go.
Because here's the thing, they don't come in a big long box. I've seen them come in over at CS Toys, where it's just a big like garbage bag full.
Yeah, that's what confused me when I saw these 2 white boxes. I'm like, what the.
I'm presuming they... Well, I know they have sold them in the past that way. I presume it's just a generic box that they have that fits 6.
Cosmic States.
That's a good one.
Let's see. I'm going to put that over. I don't have a surface to put these on, and they roll. So if you hear clattering, that's because they fell off my desk. Next one
is... Don't put them back in the box or anything.
Well, the box has other ones in it. It'll get confusing. I'm pulling them out of the box one at a time as I do this. Oh, God. This tape is the worst. Aaron, what are your thoughts on tape?
Huh? What?
What are your thoughts on tape? Where can I buy them?
It's adhesive and is used to join things together.
I got stronger!
Yay!
You get stronger because you fight the tape.
I wanted stronger. Getting what I wanted. Alright, I got two left in here. Let's see if I can just see the sticker on one of them. No, of course not. I mean, what's the point? I already got the capsule. It's not like I can snipe a capsule out of a machine. Just... Come on. Alright, I thought this was going to be quicker than this. This is taking longer than I was expecting.
I am laughing.
It's the only time I'm going to do this ever again.
Why don't you ever, like, have, like, a razor blade or an X-Acto knife nearby to just, like,
run through the scene? I started doing this way. I'm not going to stop. I got Ichigo. He's in turquoise. That's weird. Why is this thing turquoise? And the last one is number 7.
I think they were thinking original color on that.
I guess. Looks all seafoam.
See, now you need Nigo, because they have to go together.
I bet you know this next one is not turquoise. This one is all smoky. This is Shining Form. I wanted that one. Alright, so that's my series 1s.
You actually get... I'll say you actually got a good set there. There's a few where I'd say you kind of dodge a bullet, just because they're not as interesting.
So I got that impression from some of the videos I saw. Some of them were just like a 2 or 3 sound wonder, and that's about it.
Well, some are just one or two like really long sounds from the 70s that you probably don't remember.
Yeah.
And there's a few that are like weird. Because Ryuki Survive, for instance, it's only a couple noises, and they're really short.
Yeah. While I get this other one open, I'm going to tell you guys about the stupid purchase I made yesterday. So I went out looking for Tenkai Knights like a dork, yeah. As you do. And I'm in the Toys R Us, and they aren't there, of course, because little did I know that they're not even going to be at Toys R Us till sometime in November. One there I see once again, because they show up every now and then, Ninja Turtle Classics. I only have Donatello, and they're sitting there, and I'm like, you know. Bebop and Rocksteady look good. There's rumors they're going to do a Krang or a Shredder. Maybe I should buy another one. So I bought Leonardo. Don't regret the purchase. I know that I'm probably going to end up getting the other two somewhere down the line, so I have all 4 turtles. But man, at least from my viewpoint, once you have one of these, you have them all.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I tell people. The dirty little secret to that series is you really only need one because they're barely different.
Yeah, and... I feel kind of bad saying this, but it's kind of a boring... I felt this way about Donatello, too. I know people really dig these, so I'm not trying to say, you know, that they're terrible, but I just find them really boring. They have a lot of posability, but it's not like... The range isn't huge on a lot of it. So... I don't know.
They're really posable for Turtles toys, you give them that.
Yeah. I mean, given the lineage of Turtles toys, they're great.
Yeah, but... Yeah. You know, at the same time, someone's going to go, well, it's the turtles, you know, besides the paint job and the weapon, what more do you want to be different?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like everything that I find kind of a bummer about Turtles Classics is intrinsic to making toys of the Ninja Turtles.
Right.
So I just feel like I think that what I want is what I got out of the Nickelodeon foursome, where they all were somewhat more unique. They all just felt like they had more individual character. Like, it doesn't help these classics ones are all just kind of... They're the cartoon turtles doing the 80s toy grimaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what really bugged me. I keep saying, if any toy line needed, like, alternate heads...
Yeah.
Like, please give me someone with some more personality. Can I not have a pissed-off Michelangelo?
It just doesn't work! And, like, Leonardo, of course, he's one of the ones who... has, like, a pupil that's pointed slightly more up than the other pupil. And, I don't know. I'm gonna end up getting the other two, because now that I have two, it's less money to get the rest. It's really stupid. But I think that the reason why I'm getting them is because they are actually doing Bebop and Rocksteady. That shows me there is a semblance of confidence in this line. So,
if they give me a Shredder with a shirt, I'll be thrilled.
Yeah. Make him look like the cartoon.
Yes.
And
that's the one thing I never got as a kid. Why is Shredder always bare-chested?
Well, and Turtles Forever resold me on 80s Shredder. Because he basically steals that movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure it's in the books and in the plan somewhere at Playmates to do a Shredder. It can't not be. And that's why I decided to get back into getting those Turtles. Because, you know, if they do him, I will want the four Turtles there to fight him. Because that's how it's got to be. But yeah, that was also a really dumb while I'm here. And I have $20. I guess I could buy a turtle. And I felt kind of dumb afterwards.
I tell people if you have to buy one, get Raphael. It's the only one whose face is in character.
Yeah, that's a good point. They had all four of them there. I just figured, like, I know that, because I have Donatello, and of the other three, I've seen Leonardo less. And he's got a sword, so I was like, I guess I'll get him next. And I guess I'm also the rare person who's actually buying them in piecemeal. Because I just don't feel good about throwing down a whole bunch for, you know, three or four of them at once.
They're pretty close to being the same.
Yeah. It pushes if they were, it's because they're $20 over here too. It just pushes it all a little bit too far for me.
I'd actually only gotten Raphael and I kind of thought to myself, you know, I kind of feel like I should have all four, but at the same time, I know there's nothing different except the weapon, so I'm good.
Yeah.
And then the girlfriend decided, oh, that'll be a perfect present. Let's get him the other three. Like, thank you.
How dare you get me gifts? I will build this computer at you. So I got all the tape off, but I'm going to save that stuff for the end, because I'll keep things more varied here. I have one other what we got I wanted to talk about, which was I actually got some out of nowhere and to the wrong address, because I didn't know they were going to send anything else, so I didn't give them the new address. From Bluefin, I got some SH Figuarts for reviewing. One of them I need to get the review up ASAP, and I have it pretty much half done. That's what I'm going to be doing after we finish this podcast. So that one, the one that they need to, that they specified, it'd be great if you could review this before New York Comic Con, what with this being the New York Comic Con thing, is the Armored Red Ranger. And I was going to buy him at New York Comic Con, so I'm like, all right.
I need to know the people you know.
So I have the Green Ranger, and in light of this, I have finally opened up the Green Ranger, who is fantastic. And Armored Red Ranger is just as fantastic. It's a great figure. I don't have Tyranno Ranger or the Red Ranger, so I don't know. The gold shield on both of them, it somewhat hinders the posability, not in any way that's critical, but it also covers up the shoulders, because they have a shoulder cover, but it looks kind of hinky. But I don't have the Red Ranger, so I don't know what the shoulder covers look like when they don't have the gold thing covering a whole lot of their sculpt.
It's the best way to describe it is they're basically the same sleeves that Shinken Red had over his joints, except there's a little bit of paint to continue the diamond pattern.
Yeah, and aesthetically they look like when they fall out of place, it looks like they really fall out of place.
But
on the bright side, Armored Red Ranger, the Dragon Dagger is just as immaculately painted as the Green Ranger's, and the Power Sword is just as apparently immaculately painted as the Red Ranger's. So having all those accessories in one box, nothing's been ditched paint app wise. I mean, it's Figo Art, so it probably wouldn't be. But the only downside to this guy is he comes with the Ranger stick, the folded up weapon, you know, for the other holster. But you only get it in stick mode. So it's kind of just there to fill a holster. You don't get the gun mode or the sword mode of it. And granted, if you collect all of these, you're going to end up with like a whole pile of those. But if you had to cite one bad thing about this guy, it's that he comes with a folded up Ranger stick, and that is it for the Ranger stick.
I kind of get it, because that's all he really used when he had the shield on.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, you look at the normal Red Ranger and go, he's got like a dozen variations of that thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, they threw in the Dragon Dagger, and maybe that ate up some of that stuff, especially with all the paint apps the Dragon Dagger has. And I really like the assortment of hands, because they give you, like, the Red Ranger, you know, pose hands with the air quotes, but they also give you the two Dragon Dagger hands so you can have them actually playing the Dragon Dagger. It's a very intelligently crafted little box of toy. But there were, so that came in, and while I was emailing with them, they said, oh, we also put the White Ranger in there, I think. So I opened it, and the White Ranger is in there. The White Ranger has, like, no accessories. He has fists on him, and then he has one more pair of hands. One of them is wide open. The left hand is wide open. The right hand is made to hold whatever the Saba. Is it Saba?
Saba.
Yeah. Saba.
It's made to hold Saba. Now, the cool thing about Saba is to put him in the holster, you actually take him apart. You put the handle down, and you put the blade up the holster, so it actually cannot come out of the holster without disassembling the sword. So it's really securely in there, which solves the biggest problem I've had with Sentai figure arts, which is most of their holsters suck. And there's a different blade that's, like, bigger on Saba. But, yeah, he is just a figure. He has a gripping hand and an open hand to go with his fists, and he has a sword with a different blade. That is it. And if you get the Japanese version, it also comes with, and this one doesn't come with it because it doesn't have the rights for that, but the Japanese one has no window on the box and comes with a different chest emblem that has the Akiba Ranger symbol on it from Season 2. On mine, I have no idea how you even get that chest coin out. It's locked in there pretty damn solid, so I don't even...
Do you have a hammer?
I don't want to break him yet, but maybe once I've shot videos of him.
How about a small hammer?
Ball peen? Such a cute word. So this White Ranger and Kiba Ranger, they are the most bare-bones figure arts I have ever seen. Like even less stuff than Agito Ground Form. Which leads me to one conclusion, which is that Japan does not give a flying crap about Kiba Ranger, and the only reason this figure is made is because the U.S. fan base is having the 20th anniversary of Power Rangers. So, it looks like a figure... Like, the sculpt is good, the figure is good, but it looks like they put as little money into this as possible because they probably were not expecting any turnaround in its home domestic area, and that is probably the case. But when I got the box, it said items inside 3. So I'm like, what the hell is the third figure in here? So after making the conscious decision that it looks cool, but I probably don't need it, I now have a copy of SH Figure Arts Sailor Moon. So I immediately looked up her skirt, and she does have underpants down there. She feels a million times more solid than those lousy precures I looked at with Rider Strike. Because those came out, like, in 2009. She's surprisingly solid feeling, given how tiny she is.
Okay.
And her pigtails are poseable, but mine were so paint-stuck, I almost just didn't unstick them.
Because I heard mine were like that, too.
Yeah, and I heard people had broken them, but then I, like, did research, and I saw proof, video proof, that they were on tiny, tiny ball joints. So I did some NECA tricks to, like... Because what's sticking them is the quote-unquote meatball they plug into. Because that's, like, grippy, pliable plastic. So that's the part you want to stretch and put the pressure on to eventually release the small ball joint inside. Because the pigtails and her front bangs are made of a really fragile-looking, semi-translucent plastic. Like, specifically, it's like a golden translucent, and it looks very glass-like. And I'm worried about it being put under a lot of pressure. She has a bunch of faces. I like that the thing where she throws her tiara, they put in a face that's just the normal one without the tiara on. And the hand that's throwing the tiara actually is a hand with the prop effects part glued onto it, which is pretty smart. I like that she has a crying face so I can surround her with monster toys and enact my fantasies. And
I've already had to keep Gills away from her.
I also like how she has pearlescent finish on, like, all of her paint apps. It really adds another level to it. And her skirt actually does have a split in the sides, and it's layered over to match the pleat of the skirt, so that she can actually do some pretty good action poses. I was surprised by the range of posability I was getting on that figure.
I was going to ask if they were nice enough to actually send you the first release that had the crying face.
I don't think that a non-first release actually exists. And I suspect that until they do a full, like, you know, second dot on the back version, everyone's going to have all five faces. Let's give them the packaging.
Yeah.
I was amazed that one was even, like, an exclusive at any point, because it's like... It's like half the. That's like half of her expression.
Yeah, winking and crying. She does it a whole lot, especially around me. Yeah.
Well, you say first release to get people like, oh crap, I better get it now.
First release, production run of 500,000 pieces.
Yeah.
that was something that that kind of became what I've been working on for the last bit. Dragon Ranger video, Armored Red Ranger video, and Bovis have all been eating my spare time up. It was interesting. Sailor Moon is way more solid toy, and I can't stress it enough that given both the pictures and the number of breakage reports I saw, I was like, this is Precure all over again. But it's actually a pretty good figure, and it made me go and look up. So I went to look up clips of Sailor Moon to remind myself of how the show worked, and when I found ones in Japanese, I stopped them and then went to look for ones with the English dub that I saw on YTV when I was a kid. Because I can't...
Did you find the right dub?
Yeah, I can't deal with Japanese Sailor Moon because I watched the dub where Sailor Mercury and Luna were British. And I don't know. It was weird. I was like, I have to watch the dub because I can't deal with this in another language. I didn't watch this in another language. It was weird. Sailor Moon has a lot of really... dumb attack names. That's what I also learned. With lots of syllables. I don't think I'm going to go out of my way to get the other ones, but this is interesting. The scale's decent with other figure arts, too. She's kind of tall, but looks cool standing with the Red Ranger and the Green Ranger. Anyway, I'm going to close out this what we got this week by looking at what the other Gaia memories I got were, because now I can just screw them open. So this first one is Forze. So I got Forze and Cosmic States.
You can do a good combo then.
Excellent. I was wondering if there'd be a thing there. And then I got
it's not like a hidden noise or anything. They just sound really good together.
Yeah. Sky Rider. I don't know what he... Yeah. What's up, Sky Rider? That wasn't even your name for a while. Next up, it's a green one. V3! Oh, sweet! I just, for HJU Radio, I watched the first four episodes of V3, and I got super pumped about V3. And number four is number 13, Black RX. I'm just crushing these things closed now.
Getting a lot of show here.
Yeah! Got two more! Oh, get out of the... Yeah. Screw you open. Armed Hibiki. That was a really silly form. And the last one is... Number 14. Oh, yes! Zeto. Zeto was my very first Kamen Rider. So, that was meant to be.
Jeez.
I feel really good about that. So now, I gotta make a list of all the ones I didn't get, and then spend the next 15 years tracking them all down one at a time. Because I don't like buying in bulk, because I'm too lazy.
I'd say get Super 1. I was really hoping you'd hit him, because he's got some beautiful... like I meant to say it, because that's one of the new ones I got. Because he's got some gorgeous, like... early 80s Flash Gordon cheesy sounds to him.
That's because his transformation sequence has like 15 different body motions behind it. He has one of the most... You should see it. He has one of the most ludicrous henshins. It's fun. Anyway...
One of those swatting at bees henshins.
Well, he does like 12 poses and then his belt opens. And he does 12 more poses. And it's... I don't know. And then he goes like, at the end, and it's really silly. That's what we got this week. Thank you all for tuning in.
If you'd asked me,
Oh.
Oh,
I forgot about you. I assumed you didn't get anything else.
No. We're good. All right. I guess.
Hey, Aaron. You interrupted the end of the show, so now you have to tell us what you got this week.
I've forgotten now because you ramble on and on and on and then completely forgot about me. So, no biggie.
Hey, Aaron.
It's probably nothing important.
It's important what you got this week. So, what did you get this week?
Like I said, I can't remember. I didn't leave myself a list. Had it ready, and now I'm just like, whatever.
Wait, you had it ready?
I was thinking that I had something, and then I was like, yeah, it'll be interesting to talk about, and I've since forgotten about it, so whatever.
Was it the Extra Life charity that you're doing?
No, it wasn't Extra Life based. I mean, I got posters for cheap. I don't know if I got the chance to talk about that.
What posters did you get?
I got posters. So, Crasis, one of those Pre-order 66 guys made me up a poster that's Andy Ruse Gaming Gang stuff and looks real good, and I had issues trying to get it printed at Staples because they couldn't print out the standard that he had, and then when I had a PDF, the girl was like, this might be copyrighted, so I'm not going to touch it. I was like, no, it has my name on it. See, that's my name. That's me. Why would you not print that out?
What's the image?
That's my dogs.
Oh.
I thought I had shown it off plenty.
Yeah, I saw it on your Twitter, but I wanted to double check, because I saw it while I was at work. And it looked pretty cool.
I don't know if I have a good picture of it stashed anyway.
Go on your Twitter media grid. Yeah. I'm going to Twitter stalk you.
How does the media grid thing
it's
work?
It's super
photos
dumb.
Videos. Yeah, here we go. That. There's the thing. Give me a link. Copy link. Like that.
Ugh. Oh man, you pasted it and pushed enter.
Yep. So it's
just looking at this.
And the neat thing is, he dropped a Sheltie in there with the controller angel.
Oh, that's cool.
Pattern on there too. And it took my second look at it to be like, ah, cool. So I got those printed up after going and fighting with Staples and the girl at Staples who probably didn't know crap from anything but probably had previously gotten in trouble for printing something copyrighted. I was going to a local blueprint place to pick up blueprints for the company for my job. And was like, while I'm here, I have a question for you.
I'd like to illegally print these for charity.
I explained it, and the guy's like, yeah, we can cut a deal. How does, like, a quarter of the price sound to you? So I ended up getting a 24x36-inch print and 3 18x24 prints for $11.
Nice.
Or so. And I had already printed up plenty of 11x17s because that was a paper size that was in the color printer at work. So, had plenty of those to hand out and had, like, flyer handout things to be done.
Man, this Crasis kid is pretty good at these graphics. He should try doing that for a living.
Yeah, he should. He did good. I asked him, and he's like, normally I don't do this for friends and family because it's like crossing over work and job. I'm like, oh, sorry to, you know, if that gives you the heebie-jeebies, you know, I'm sorry, dude. I apologize. I don't want to, you know, cheese off a friend by saying, hey, this thing you do hard for a living, do it for me for free. But he really came through and came up with something that looks real good. Although, after the fact, so in there it has the whole mention of doing it at Blue Moon Comics. And I took it to Blue Moon to have them put it up in their window, and they're like, yeah, Blue Moon's really one word, not two. I was like, what? He goes, no, it's no big deal. I'm like, what? No.
He's grabbing by his lapels and throwing him over the counter.
But,
do you know how much trouble I would... They told me this... They told me my name wasn't my own property.
Yeah. But, no, they were... The Blueprint Specialties was really cool about it. I remembered the other thing by going through my Twitter media grid was Mousers.
Oh, you found Mousers. I don't want to hear because I can't find them, so I'm bitter.
I was surprised that I found them. We went to Myers, which is normally pretty bad about having anything new. Unless it's the very first wave, they'll get the very first wave super early.
I'm the last person on Twitter now. Because Trent found them, too.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mousers, they're a whole bunch of the same guy, but in three different colors, in little mousers. And Alfie had previously picked up for herself the, like, Turtles in Training Leo and Donnie. So it makes for a good overwhelmed scene, even though it's not canon, since the Mousers didn't show up much later in the Turtles' career. But I'm also thinking of like a Fort Max overrun thing with all of my Viacom drones that are left.
Did you see
just everybody trying to take Fort Max down and he's fighting them off, stepping on them?
Did you see Trent's picture of his Mouser army?
Yes.
So
starting to amass. What has he got, like 5 packs of
something
them now?
Like that. I'd already made the conscious decision that if I ever saw Mousers, I would not stop buying them until I'd bought in 2 packs. Oh god, I said bought.
So you'd have 14?
Yeah.
Bought? Yeah, I was trying to move on. I was trying to do the math for you. So 14 Mousers? Mousers?
14 Mouser?
Yes.
Take the S off?
Yes. That's the way that
I'd like a 14
move
count
on.
Of Mouser, please. Yeah,
You've got the German in there, so you can really, really chew on that. I wish
a 14 count of Mousers, please. Yeah.
They caught a German dozen?
I'm so jealous of all you guys who are finding them and Tenkai Knights. It's like all this stuff that is not out in Canada right now.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I had gone for the Tenkai Knights, and stock day for my Toys R Us is tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
you got to tell me what you think of those.
Yeah. I want to get at least the basic pack because it's like the main robot turns into a 2x4 brick.
So I did some asking about those in the thread because you know how. So the little minifigure 2x4s, you know, they're sold single and in 3 packs. And some of the 3 packs, like, there's 2 3-packs for each character, just with different assortments. So I found it very confusing. Okay. So I asked, is there any difference between the 3-pack versions and the single-pack versions? There is, in terms of the extra parts. The single-pack ones come with specialized pieces so they can all combine together into jets, basically. The 3-packs just come with basic customization blocks that do not have any, specific purpose.
That's okay.
But the 3-packs are a better monetary deal. The single packs, however, are designed so all 4 good guys combine into a jet and all 4 bad guys combine into a jet. So just so you know. And then there's also the Titans, which are the posable larger ones.
They're like the big...
A big brick.
Like 6x8 or something, I think I saw.
It's a big fat brick full of ratchet joints and ball joints.
Yeah, I will weigh in on them. If and when I eventually find them.
Yeah, I'm very curious.
My Toys R Us the last couple years has been really weird, because I've not seen Metroplex there yet at all. No sign of a tag or space or anything. And I'd really been hoping to see a Metroplex by now.
Oh, Aaron, I also wanted to add something.
What's that?
I caused you to talk about what you got this week, despite your protests.
Yeah, that's okay. And my protest was because I couldn't remember it, and it's getting late.
Just call me a talented podcast host whenever you'd like to.
No, I won't. I won't be doing that. You already have enough of a day.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't do it. I want to hear you say it. I guess that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you, Aaron and Omegas, for joining me here on WTF at TFW. I haven't done this for a while. So we're going to be back next week with some good times, some Transformers. And this thing apparently only has 2 noises. So I'll... What? Are you done? No? Okay. Right now you're done. So, we'll be back next week. We'll have some more Transformers chatter. And actually, next week, things might get a little bit shuffled up, because next week I'm also going to New York Comic Con, and I don't exactly know how I'm going to organize all my time yet based on that. But we'll see. So, until then, I can't make it say anything else. Goodbye.
Could have grabbed a different stick.
I haven't put any other ones together.
I grab a different stick.
Yeah, well...
prisoner here to stay.